and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes and liberals, conservatives, whoever's listening, whoever's up, how are you? I am Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi!
This is Air America Radio. We just had a way too long conversation about popcorn in here
before
we went off the air. What was that about? Kayla's on the board, P.W. McDonald in the booth with Clutch Larson, who, as some of you remember yesterday, said,
I was wrong.
Which I think is a very important thing. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I was wrong.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
How good does that feel?
I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong.
That was, hold on a minute, man. That feels better than
wrong.
I thought. That's our producer, who rarely is wrong.
Yes.
And it was just an amazing thing that he got on and just admit, hold on a minute.
I was wrong.
Oh, my God. You know what? That just feels great when anybody says that. You know, because I know it's a hard thing for me to say, and I'm not half as controlling as Jonathan Larson. I swear to God, he would micromanage my brain if there was some controls on the outside of my head to do it. I think he does sometimes, don't you, Riley? Do you feel like that Larson is actually sort of like he's got, like, sometimes I give him more credit than I think he deserves as far as manipulating me is concerned.
He's got a small wallet-sized remote control that he keeps in the other studio.
Yeah,
he doesn't show it to you, though.
But I happen to have this board right here that makes me go,
I was wrong.
Oh, that's just joyous.
Oh, my God. Lord. So, I know we're not going to hear the end of this after the show today.
Everybody. Are you kidding? He loves it. As long as I'm not making fun of his, stuff, his little bag of green peppers.
You stole his little bag of green peppers once.
Now he's got me, freaking out.
I know, you got a bag full of veggies over here.
Yeah, it's good, man.
But that's cool, though. I'm kicking the coffee. I did another bottle of water this morning on my way into work.
Yeah.
There are times you just want to do different things. Like, for example, Colin Powell.
Yeah.
He just wants to do something different.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Spencer Abraham, something different.
Yeah, they're out.
Armitage, something different.
Yeah. You think it's all up to them? Like they just decided maybe it's time for me to take a little break, go into the private sector? Are you kidding? They weren't towing the party line, so they pushed him out.
You know, we could go for two of those gigs, man.
Huh?
Let's go for two of those gigs.
You want to be a
cabinet
member?
Let's change our political affiliation. I'll become a Tom. You become a normal comic.
I've never met a normal comic.
We'll go to D.C. and present ourselves, at the White House. And look, we would like to work. There are, I counted, there are like 13 gigs opened up in the last like 24 hours. And that includes, by the way, the heads of the Democratic and Republican national committees.
Yeah.
And of course, Tom Ridge and Tommy Thompson are also supposedly going to be going soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're talking now about, some really heavyweight job opportunities.
Yeah, but don't you think they got plans for those opportunities? Aren't they looking for new kiss-ups to, to do whatever they say?
So don't we become the kiss-ups to do whatever they say?
We can do that
for 6 months and then go into a really great lobbying job.
Go for it, man. It's not my
bag. We can make, like, seven figures.
Yeah, it's not my bag, man. Come on.
It's something to do.
Nah, I ain't doing it.
You do it because you can do it.
What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be doing this for 30 years if you could do that because it was something you could do.
I know, but sometimes I fantasize.
Yeah?
Well,
somebody
left me a really great magazine.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing,
though.
I'm amazed. I watched this thing on Walmart last night. Walmart, is it good for America? We got the guy who made it. Hendrick Smith, who it's on Frontline. It's a documentary on Walmart, and I watched it last night. And one thing I'll tell you that I don't understand at all, and that I wish I did, outside of politics, which I barely understand anyways, but I'm involved with now, is business. The buying and selling of stuff. I'm not geared that way, and it really makes me mad sometimes because, I watch people who all they think about is making money. All they think about is how money is made. They think about capitalism. They think about barter. They think about, trade agreements. They think about economic implications of trade agreements. They think about, like, small businesses, big businesses, everybody selling and moving stuff. And I'm sitting at home going, well, I wonder if this is funny. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. Let me tell you something. I was raised to believe that people who spent all their time trying to figure out how to make money were idiots.
Yeah, but you know what? They're idiots with pools.
I know they're idiots with pools. Like, they have things. That's what they do it for.
I know, but
things aren't everything.
I'm not a thing. You know, I mean, I'm not a thing guy. You know, I don't have a lot of things. You know,
that's why we get along so well.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not into
things.
That's
the only reason?
I have glasses from Dwayne Reed.
You mean if I came in here and I said, look at my new BlackBerry. Look, it talks to me. You would be like, sorry, man. That's where I draw the line. I don't know you anymore,
man. That's right, man.
If I came in
with BlackBerries, no. I like the trail mix and the Apple and the stuff that you did come in with.
Yeah! So you're saying that the reason we get along is we're both too stupid to make money.
No, we're both too tortured not to change all the time. That's what it boils down. No, look, we are people who are not defined by money.
Right.
Aren't dominated by money.
I'm defined by my four stray cats. My strange eating habits.
I'm defined by my family at this point. My wife and daughter are what defines me. You got your wife, you got your place out in LA. But see, if we decided to become single-minded in the pursuit of money, if we went out and took the right courses, I don't know if we'd have to go to Harvard Business School or something, but if we took the right courses, we'd probably be moderately successful, but why put yourself through that?
I don't think it's the right courses. I just think it's a different type of nads. Like, you know, guys who start businesses are like, you know, screw it. I'm going to sell this thing. I'm going to put up a shop. I'm going to get the money invested in it. We're going to take a shot. We're going to take a gamble. We're going to move this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is. It's, you know, it's no, just on a small business level. I can't even market myself, for God's sakes. I've been doing this 20 years. You know, I got CDs out there, I got books out there, but there's part of, see, I think it's a fundamental insecurity thing with me, that whereas, you know, I could market myself better if I wasn't like, it's not that good. But the book's good, it's all right. You know, like, people will ask me, like, is this a good CD? Don't ask me. I made it. How am I going to, I barely like me. Why, you're asking the wrong guy.
Is your CD in Walmart?
Yeah, right. My CD's in Walmart.
I'm just asking.
But that's what I was thinking last night, Riley. I'm watching the thing, and I'm watching these buyers who go into these offices with these Walmart guys, and they make socks. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all the guy does. His whole life he's been making socks.
Sock man.
For 30 years, right? And he goes in, he tries to sell to Walmart, because if he gets one contract with Walmart, that guy makes millions and billions of dollars. Now, I'm not saying I want millions and billions of dollars, because I know, as you're saying, that money doesn't make you happy, but I'd like to have the opportunity to say that from my own pool. You know what? Like, I'd like to have the opportunity to be sitting there, you know, in my pool going, you know what? I'm not happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you like this pool? Maybe, but the thing is, I know that Walmart's bad. I know that, like, the other thing I don't understand, Riley, that I realize that the thing I'm more sensitive to is just how hard it is for so many people and how, you know, uncaring these businesses are. There's a very interesting point in the documentary where you have the economy. You have these people that are doing business with China. They're underselling. You know, they get all this cheap merchandise, and they underprice everybody. And they actually force people who are small businesses doing business with them to get to their lowest bottom line, even if it compromises that business. It's a very devious way of doing it. But even with these global trade agreements, if they balance out, which is the way it's supposed to go, you know, ebb
and flow. They never do.
Well, even if they balance out economically, the repercussions on the cultural fabric in terms of how many more people are out of work, how many people more are now living, you know, under the poverty line because of these economic policies is vast, but they don't care about that.
No, they don't care about that because they have stockholders who they have to satisfy. They're like any other business, Mark. Their first allegiance is to their stockholders, the people that invested the money to start the company in the first place.
But it's criminal. I mean, it's like, you know, they're putting mom and pop operations like Sears and Kmart out of business. You know, and it's just wrong.
Sears has been mom and pop back at the turn of the last century. But, is he getting in your ear with the same thing that he got in my ear with?
Clutch Larson just told me that Walmart carries
your
book.
Yeah, carries your book. That's what he told me.
Well, let me explain it. Not only am I not making any money off of that book anymore. Here's the weird thing.
Oh, okay.
The reason they're carrying it is, like, I guess Walmart's the last stop before the shredder, all right? Because they did an original run about 10,000 copies of my book. I think it sold 4, all right? So that means, what, Kayla?
What's the title of your book?
Jerusalem Syndrome, My Life as a Reluctant Messiah. It's about it's about a trip to Israel I took, and then through that lens of, you know what Jerusalem Syndrome is?
Yeah.
It's a temporary psychological condition. It happens to some people. They go to the Middle East and they just snap. Just normal people. They snap and they think they're, you know, a prophet, or they think they're Jesus, or they think they're, like, you know, here, have a direct line to God, you know. And, you know, not only did I have that in Israel, but I think I've had it most of my life. you know, because I'm that special.
Ah.
So the idea is like I sort of it's sort of a memoir, kind of tweaked religious things based on what men tried to, but. In all honesty, I know that they had a lot of those left, so they must... What do they have it on the website, Clutch?
Uh-oh.
26% off cover price.
26% off the cover price.
I don't make a dime. I'm
that
still,
was your cut they took.
Yeah, right. I'm still operating at a deficit to the publisher. You know, they give you a bunch of money, and part of that money, it's not a bunch. I mean, like, don't... You know, publishing is probably the worst business in the world, because I feel bad. My buddy Sam Lipside, who's a genius, who's going to come on this show in a couple weeks to plug his book, Homeland, which is coming out in
Robert
the
Robert Lipside related to?
Bob Lipside's kid.
Okay.
Sam, he was over at my house yesterday. He just had a baby. He's a genius. He's a comedic genius. His books are great, you know, but, you know, he couldn't even, like, you know, his first book, Subject Steve, came out last year. It was great. And then Homeland, which is this new book, was published in England first because publishing is such a tough racket. Even if you're a gifted writer, it doesn't matter unless you're on Oprah, unless, you know, it really kicks in, you know, unless, you know, people, you know, glom onto it. But the money you get right out of the gate, it's not that impressive, and half of that money is to accommodate, you know, what the book is supposed to make.
Yeah.
So if you don't make that, you know, you still keep the money, you know, but you're not, you know, you get no
royalties. But your book ends up in Walmart.
Right.
Yeah.
Quit telling me to go, Larson. He's in my head going,
time
why don't
to
you
go
care?
Now.
All right, you know what? We'll come back. It's 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. It's not Marxism. It's Marxism. Mark Maron and Mark Riley every morning on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down.
Customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone or go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like, people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on four continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
I was wrong.
How great is that? That's my producer, Quest Morrison, saying he was wrong yesterday. I think for the first time since we started doing the show. And it's just so satisfying. I think his wife wants a copy. He just walked into the booth. He didn't know what we were talking about. So he had that face of just assuming that we were talking about him. We're talking about Walmart before, and I just want to say before we move on to everybody leaving the cabinet of this administration that I've only shopped at Walmart once when I was on the road, and it's not a principled thing with me. I'm pretty fascinated by the Walmart, you know, and we were on the road driving across country. My wife and I stopped there, and it was like, literally, it's a town.
Yeah.
It's not a store. It's a town. Walmarts have mayors. It's unbelievable.
Oh, the guy to greet you at the door?
No, I don't know. Well, he's just, you know, yeah, he's the greeter, but there's a mayor and there's a president. There's an entire government to Walmart. This Frontline documentary is really a tremendous thing because they had the stockholders meeting and it's like a revival meeting. It's pretty fascinating, the world of just of pure capitalism.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's a pretty fascinating thing. I'm so on the outside. I'm out of the loop of everything. I'm like some marginal freak. Who, you know, just, I, you know, what do? I talk to four cats. You know, I come in here and I talk to you, and then I try to have a life during the day. But what I was saying is my wife likes Target. I have shopped at Target, which I'm assuming is not a whole lot better. But for some reason, the little circle with the other circle in the middle of it, that's better to me than the Walmart. But I imagine it's not that much better.
The difference is that Walmart is just so much bigger than everybody.
And it's putting everyone out of business.
Kmart and Sears and all the rest of these companies. And the thing about that, I find Walmart fascinating because it to me is indicative of this whole downward spiral that the country gets into periodically. Because it really is like, okay, Walmart's going to make the prices cheaper and cheaper so people can afford them, but then more and more people won't have jobs. So how can they afford anything?
Right, but that's the weirdest thing is that all these people who are put out of jobs, like in the documentary, I can't believe we're talking about it so early in the show, but I guess it really
we'll get back to it later.
Yeah, is that, you know, all these people that are put out of work in these, you know, these manufacturing jobs that, you know, used to be able to sell to Walmart. Walmart put some of them out of business by going to China.
Yes.
Yet these people who are now even more economically compromised than they were, you know, find themselves shopping at Walmart because in some areas it's the only game in town anymore. See, I like to go to small places to buy stuff because I got more time than most people. You know, if I got to drive across town to find the kind of coffee I want because I want to buy it from the guy that I like, you know, who at Puerto Rican importers or something like that, I'm going to do that over a Starbucks, you know? Why not, if I need to get guitar strings, if I got time, why not drive to the factory?
That's what people in New York do, Mark. People in New York have a tendency to shop at the local butcher. They go to the local.
I've
always been like that.
I got a butcher, I got a fish guy, and I got a fruit guy.
Yeah.
I got two fruit guys.
Do you hate malls?
Do I hate malls?
I hate malls.
Well, I go on the road a lot. I don't hate them, but what I do is I sort of lock into hypno-mall mode, where it's like if I go to the mall, I appreciate it for what it is. Like, this is a mall experience.
Yeah.
Look,
I am
me.
In the mall.
I'm floating. Yeah, the thing I don't like about malls, and it's also the thing I don't like about the mallification of even this city, is that it's too predictable.
Yeah.
There, you know, and it drains all of the authenticity. It drains all of the sort of spiritual soul out of any environment. The mall is in of itself a spiritless place, but when places are mollified,
yeah,
it becomes a little frightening. Like, even Union Square is turning into something peculiar now.
Well, because there's like chains everywhere, you know, and there's nothing wrong with chains, I suppose. But the Walmart issue is one that is going to continue to trouble Americans for a lot of years to come.
You just reminded me of something. I do all kinds of bits about that, about the mollification, about, like, you know, being able to, you know,
yeah,
the idea that people come to New York and they, like, you know, they come to Times Square and like, oh my God, there's a Fridays here.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so nauseating,
isn't
it?
It's so much bigger than our Fridays. You know, it's an Applebee's. I can't wait to tell the guy at our Applebee's, the manager there, that we went to the New York Applebee's, because he's going to be like, no way.
Yeah.
I
could go into a whole riff about Applebee's, but I won't, because they might advertise you.
But I'm going to do it. I'm taping a CD in Seattle on the 3rd and 4th of December at Giggles Comedy Club, and I just want to make sure that because I've got to do a bunch of new stuff, and, you know, I'm not getting out as much as I should, and I'm pretty excited.
Really?
You know, because we're doing 4 shows. We're going to tape them, and we're going to put out a new CD.
Excellent.
Get some new stuff. I got my old CD it's good. I'm going to say that because it's a new me. It's the Marc Maron selling Marc Maron me. My old CD is great. It's a classic.
There you go.
You should have
there
it.
You go.
If you don't have it, you should go to markmaron.com and get a copy of it, because it's going to be, you know, it's
bigger than the Beatles.
See, I don't even know how to sell myself. It's going to be okay. You know, but the new one I'm going to be taping in Seattle, and hopefully, I don't know. I think we're on in the middle of the night in Seattle.
Well, hopefully.
If you're listening in Seattle right now, call me at 866-303-2270. But that's all. I just want to hear from Seattle people who are listening to me right now, if that's so I know what time I'm on.
Well,
at.
You know, the San Francisco people are going to get upset with you.
Oh, San Francisco, how are you? We're on twice there.
Yeah, we're on twice in San Francisco.
Do you think we should talk about news at some point?
Because
a lot of things are happening.
Why?
And I won't get people mad.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason.
Well, we should talk about the issues.
Well, speaking of not getting people mad,
we're fighting for our lives.
We are fighting for our lives.
Raymond's not coming anymore. It
well,
keeps sending somebody.
I don't know who that was, though. Kind of weird hat, huh?
Yeah, that was nice. All right. Well,
we got the Palm Pilot.
All right.
We got the liberal agenda.
Yeah.
And someday, we're going to talk about the cabinet.
Yeah.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy.
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
This is Earth and Sky for Wednesday, November 10th, a landmark date in 20th century scientific research.
On this day in 1931, Dr. Robert Van de Graaff of Princeton University unveiled a device that would help revolutionize physics.
This Van de Graaff generator consists of two identical copper spheres sitting on top of glass stands. Inside the stands, belts run up and down and create static electricity, just as when you shuffle your feet on a rug and then touch a doorknob. Low-powered versions can make your hair stand on end, but they can also build up large voltages and send powerful electric discharges from one sphere to the other.
This discharge is like a bolt of lightning, and like lightning, it packs a huge punch. The power of a Van de Graaff generator can hurl atomic particles, such as electrons, protons, or atomic nuclei, through a chamber at high speed. So the Van de Graaff generator, when used in particle accelerators, has helped reveal the parts of atoms, and thereby the underlying structure of the physical universe.
It's said that Robert Van de Graaff got the idea for his generator as a student while watching sparks fly from a printing press. Variations of the generator are still in use today in laboratories around the world. That's our show. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hey, the big dog here for Sirius Satellite Radio. Now, someone once said, you can't have too much of a good thing. What kind of knucklehead came up with that one? Oh, yeah, boss, I don't want 3 weeks vacation. That'd be too much. A week will be just fine. Or, baby, you want me to go out with you and your roommate? No, I couldn't imagine that. Well, at Sirius, we don't buy into that stuff. We don't think you can ever have too much of a good thing. That's why we make it so easy for you to get an additional Sirius subscription.
Right now, you can save big on Sirius, because an additional Sirius subscription is just $6.99 a month. That's $6.99 a month. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Sirius.com, your favorite retailer, for details.
Another Sirius subscription isn't too much of a good thing. It's probably just the right amount.
Want radio your way? Ride with the big dog. Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
Now I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
34 past the hour. I don't know, Riley. I think Kerry could still win this thing.
Yeah. Are they finished yet?
I don't know. I don't, if you want to go to blackboxvoting.org, you can check out what's going on with the latest, some lawsuits percolating. But right now, I think Ray Ray is actually up for a cabinet post. I think he's checked into rehab and he's up for a cabinet post because he keeps selling that other guy. I guess we'll get to know him eventually, but it's weird. He's just got the chains and the weird hat and the glasses, and he just drops us off. But today we got Colin Powell's Palm Pilot. There's a schedule for today, 7 a.m. Wake up. Turn on TV news. None of this is my problem anymore. Go back to sleep. Noon. Wake up. Check answering machine. Erase 300 panicky messages from Condoleezza Rice. 1 p.m., call President Bush. Hint that I'm thinking of writing another memoir, unless I happen to find an envelope full of cash in a bus station locker between 3 and 3:15 p.m. 3:15 p.m., find envelope. Can call back drug companies and turn down lucrative endorsement deals for colon cleansers. 5 p.m., now that I'm no longer working for Bush, pursue lifelong dream. Bring peace to the Middle East. 10 p.m. bedtime. Tell my wife she doesn't have to be so formal anymore. She can start calling me the Secretary of Stud. Right here, wait. Maybe Wayne in Seattle can tell us if we're on it. Because you're actually Wayne. Are you listening? You're listening to 1090 KPTK.
That's right.
Hey, Wayne.
How's it going? Does it sound all right?
Oh, it sounds great. Yes, it's wonderful. You guys hit the air at 3 a.m. out here, and you're worth getting up for.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
That's very nice to hear. I'm going to be out there at the beginning of next month.
That's great. I'm going to look forward to that.
I love Seattle.
Yeah, it's really great.
What area do you live in?
I live just north of Seattle in a little city called Edmond.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's the most beautiful place in the world.
Well, it's pretty incredible, you know?
Yeah.
We're glad to have you guys on the air out here.
Oh, I'm glad you're listening. And, okay, we're going to talk about some news now. You want to hear some news, Wayne?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll do it for you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Take care.
So that's this. We're on, I guess, Wayne just confirmed that we are on live right now.
Yeah. And worth waking up for, he said.
It's very nice.
He must have to be to work at, like, 4.
Or maybe he's just up. Maybe he's one of those people. You know, some people only need like 2 hours of sleep a night. I wish I was one of those people.
Yeah, me too.
Man, I'm not going to talk about it. It's good. You know what I mean? Enough of this. I mean, we've got big problems. You know what I mean? Colin Powell's leaving. Spencer Abraham leaving. Rod Page leaving. Condoleezza Rice ascending.
Ascending.
And Veneman.
Out.
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 Now, let's talk about these people. Let's start at the top, which is Colin Powell, who's been having troubles for months and months, if not years, with this administration because, you know, the Powell Doctrine did not take for these guys. And
not
he's
only,
been forced into positions that were more than compromising. He's made a liar out of himself, and he's been at odds with the administration almost the whole time.
Well, yeah, he has eroded his own credibility through a series of, frontings. For George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Certainly the United Nations was the culmination of all of that.
Yeah.
Well, we have this evidence about the... Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
It turned out not to be true. But Colin Powell has been trying, apparently, without a great deal of success, to steer a more centrist course in American foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
His exit means that there is going to be no future centrist course. I mean, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell got along quite well, but the fact is Condoleezza Rice was much, much more a hardliner on foreign policy than Colin Powell.
Well, that seems to be the speculation at this point in time, is that with these cabinet posts, you know, being vacated, that what's going to happen is they're going to pull people in that are going to reinvigorate the party line, that are going to make it even more hardline than it was. Apparently, they're going to be issuing special uniforms for everyone and a certain type of hat to be worn if you're a member of the cabinet.
Well, you know, Mark, when you make these kinds of changes, when there are these many changes in a cabinet from one term to a next, you really have the ability to sit back and say, well, this is the first term crew, and this is the second term crew. And the second term crew, like it or not, is going to be compared favorably or not against the first term group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Condoleezza Rice is going to be obviously present for both, but in a very, very different role as Secretary of State. She is now going to be the visible face of the United States for the next 4 years, assuming she stays through the entire second Bush term. It was a role that Colin Powell was very comfortable in pursuing. We're not so sure that it's a role. Condoleezza Rice is a behind-the-scenes person. I first heard about Condoleezza Rice during the first Bush administration at a time when very few people knew who she was. It was just this black lady who was spoke fluent Russian and 3 or 4 other languages. She was a classically trained pianist, and George W. Bush wouldn't talk to the Russians without her. That's mm-hmm. essentially what people knew about her.
Yeah.
And she's risen in power, risen in stature. She's now the first black woman to be named Secretary of State.
She's one of the most intelligent female lackeys to ever come
down the pike.
Office.
But you know what? She seems to be one of these people who's like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the president wants is what Condoleezza
Isn't that a shame, though? Because you got to assume that, listen, I'm not trying to be sympathetic here, but you got to assume she's a bright person, you know, but so now she's just going to toe the party line as she always has.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be much difference there. Whereas you got a guy like Colin Powell, who obviously was wanting to be a diplomatic force in the world that was, you know, seeking balance in the international community. And now this guy who, you know, his vision has been completely compromised.
Yeah.
He no longer has any integrity whatsoever. But he went in there with good intentions. And I think that a lot of Democrats and more, moderate people had hopes that he would be able to create some balance there.
He went in thinking that he could talk to the president, and given his years of experience, and in particular given the fact that he had a military background. His favorite Secretary of State, by the way, was James Marshall, who
mm-hmm.
was another former military
guy.
The Marshall Plan guy after mm-hmm. the Second World War. That was his favorite Secretary of State. And Colin Powell expected to be heard as Secretary of State. He expected not just to be a mirror of the president's will, but to some small extent to influence that will. Condoleezza Rice, I don't think, has that same aspiration. I don't think she wants to influence Bush. She wants to implement what it is Bush wants.
Right. So it's not all, it's, I think it's sort of a matter also in terms of like Alberto Gonzalez. This was a guy that in his lengthy history of the last decade with Bush was really there to tell Bush what to think about certain things.
Yeah.
Like when Bush was executing people on death row in Texas, Alberto Gonzalez would basically just say, "Yeah, this guy deserves to die. Don't feel bad about it."
Yeah,
wouldn't give him any of this sort of resistance or the battles against if there was litigation that still needed to be discussed. That wasn't the issue. I think Condoleezza Rice, this president operates on a certain amount of limited instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's a very deep guy when it comes to international policy. So I think that he kind of gives a vague idea of what he wants. Then Condoleezza Rice, says what she thinks, which is going to be, lofty and intelligent and a rationalization for the type of the thing that the president wants to execute. And then he goes, exactly, and does it. So she's just going to be his part of his brain.
Well, yeah, and she's going to take a harder line, I think, particularly on North Korea, on Iran. She was always a proponent of the war with Iraq, where Powell wasn't really. Remember, the Vanity Fair piece exposed the fact that Powell did have some private misgivings about the war in Iraq. Condoleezza Rice has never had any misgivings about the war in Iraq, to the point that she sat there in front, I believe it was in front of the 9/11 Commission, and when asked about the August 6, 2001 PDB, said with a completely straight face, yes, well, it was titled, Bin Laden seeks to, do damage to the U.S. through the use of planes. I mean, she sat there with a straight face and essentially said, well, yeah, that was the name of the PDB, and that's exactly what happened.
But the sad thing is that, this neocon death cult that is now going to enforce itself and elevate Condoleezza Rice.
It's got a new queen.
Yeah, into the first, I think one of the first female fascist roles that this country has seen is now, they're trying to push this off as some sort of multicultural, advancement, by putting Gonzalez in, by bringing Condoleezza Rice up, by placing a woman at the Department of Agriculture. Now they're trying to appeal to moderates as being well, look at what we have here.
Yeah.
We are really doing great things for the diversity of this country.
Well, there has never been, Mark, the sense that George W. Bush has personal animus toward people based on race. That's never been something that people have been able to hang on him.
No, he just likes people that believe what he thinks.
What he thinks, exactly. No matter what their race, color, or creed.
Uh-huh.
And by doing this, by putting a Condoleezza Rice in place, by putting, initially Colin Powell in as Secretary of State,
right?
What this does is give people the idea that the Republican Party, not just George W. Bush, but that the Republican Party is more inclusive than it actually is. And this is political capital, which whatever candidate they come up with in 2008, that's when this is going to get banked.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of the shortcomings of why the people are leaving and what their disagreements were and how they were, not disloyal, but why are they taking the fall. When we come back in a second, we're also going to have maybe a recovery corner. And also Michael Scheuer. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Scheuer, yes.
He's going to be on the show in the next hour, which is very exciting. It's 44 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember,
All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
Pledge. Hip-hop artist Aya De Leon, co-host of We The Planet, a festival of music and activism, talks about two strong movements among young people.
One is the movement for social and racial justice, and the other one is the movement for ecology and environmental justice. And it's really exciting to see the way that those two movements come together at We The Planet.
The whole concert was produced sustainably.
Everything has the integrity of being the change we want to see. So what was so great about the concert is that it was completely alternatively fueled in terms of energy. That is the goal and what makes it so wonderful and what pulls so many different artists to want to be involved.
Read about the concert of Green Love online at wetheplanet.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down.
Customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone or go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Previously on Survivor, the tribe was shaken up by the departure of John, who sang his way right off the island.
Let the evil soul.
And with his exit, Alberto became the new tribe suck-up.
Just give me a chance to prove myself.
Then, at the tribal challenge, tribe leader George kept control of the coveted immunity idol and used it to cast away any tribe member who wasn't firmly in his alliance.
I earned capital, political capital, and now I intend to spend it.
Rod, Ann, Spencer, and Don fell victim to the tribal mandate.
Next.
Colin was obviously not loyal enough and had his torch extinguished. At first, he was in denial of his departure.
Now, I'm not leaving today, I just...
But the tribe had spoken, and Colin was dragged from the island, leaving his dignity behind.
Bring the camera back, please. Please.
Nine remain. Some will stay, others will meet their pathetic end. But in the end, there will be only one survivor, and hey, we all know who that is.
That's that silly monkey laugh of the president.
Yeah. Could you imagine the guy got reelected laughing like that?
Yeah, some people don't think he was elected the first time. So the, you know, there's some language problems that we're trying to overcome.
Yes, that's true.
We have to rewrite the language, as George Lakoff has suggested. We have to reframe all of those conservative frames, and we're working on it. We got one sent in that I thought was good about the alternative to intelligent design.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Teaching that we now have every child has a right to a fact-based education.
Yes.
I like that one. That's pretty good. Fact-based education. We'll keep that one.
Will they get it now that Rod Paige is taking his cowboy boots and marching off into the sunset?
Well, let's talk about that a minute. Now he's basically the guy that championed No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, he was really charged with implementing No Child Left Behind.
Okay, is that's what I mean? I guess that's a better word for it.
Well,
yeah, but now. The truth of the matter is that it was never really funded. Is that correct?
It was never properly funded. Most of its provisions are not in place. I'll give you an example of how No Child Left Behind really didn't work that well.
Mm-hmm.
No Child Left Behind is supposed to, in theory, allow any parent in America whose child is in a failing school to transfer that child to a better school.
Right.
Now, in New York, that has led to incredibly minuscule percentages of parents being able to take advantage of that, simply
right.
because they don't have room in the better schools.
Right.
For all the kids that want to transfer out of the low-performing schools. In fact,
you're just talking about public schools.
Public schools,
right.
Yeah. Now, No Child Left Behind also, I shouldn't say No Child Left Behind, because this wasn't part of No Child Left Behind, but Rod Paige was a big supporter of vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
Vouchers just went into effect in D.C., in our nation's capital this year.
How does a voucher system work? Will you explain it to me so I don't feel stupid?
Sure. It's easy. What a voucher system does is give each parent a set amount of money and allow that parent to put their child in any private school they choose. As a result of course, where they can afford the tuition.
Right, so not necessarily anyone where they can afford
where they can afford
the
tuition,
money.
Yes.
And how often does that money match up to the fee of the private school?
Now, there's where the devil's in the details. The bottom line is that in almost all cases, the only way that the vouchers that they're giving out, which average somewhere between $2,000 and maybe $5,000 or $6,000 a year,
yeah.
The only place that you can take that is a parochial school.
Right.
Those are the only schools that are really that inexpensive. You know,
you're trying to take a religious private school?
Yes, a religious private school. Mm. Catholic school. Any number of different religious institutions in the South that could mean Christian schools. Mm. It could mean any number of different options. But remember that, you know, you're using this as...
A mudras? Is that what they're called?
A madrasas.
Yeah,
madrasas. An Islamic school?
Yeah.
A school for Islamic terrorism?
No, that's not necessarily a school for terrorism.
I shouldn't say it's a school.
Did you know
we got
some flack from, we were sort of fed our lunch a little bit on the homeschooling thing, because during a discussion about the Christian right... we were making assumptions about homeschooling in terms of it being, you know, primarily, you know, Christian right people who are against public education because they don't integrate creationism or biblical ethics into the structure of the curriculum. But a lot of people wrote us and said, look, you know, sometimes homeschooling is just, you know, preferable to the public school situations or the situations that some people are in, given where they live. And many of the people that that wrote in said they're not all, it's not all about the Christian right.
Well, it's not all about the Christian right, but
right.
The Christian right has taken organized advantage of homeschooling.
Right.
That's a fact. That's not something we're making up. Yeah, there are
so
a lot of
is that considered
other people...
a parochial private school that you could actually get
no,
money?
No, you could. It would be interesting if you could.
You just get the voucher and say, well, I'm homeschooling my kids.
What's the problem? Well, see, the interesting thing is that there are vouchers and then there are charter schools,
yeah.
which operate differently. In a charter school situation, every child that attends a charter school, the public school in that particular community has to kick whatever their average amount that they spend on a child.
Yeah.
That then goes to the charter school.
Right.
And a lot of public schools get upset because they lose money.
So is Rod Paige, is he seen as a failure? Is he seen as, you know, as ineffective? Is he seen as a Tom, as you would say? What?
Nah, I don't think so. Look, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
As a black person, that whole, oh, I warmed myself up from a sharecropper and Mr. That kind of thing gets old with me really quickly.
Right, right.
We all got bad in our background as African Americans. None of us had a good time, all right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the whole pull yourself up by the bootstrap. I find it incredible sometimes that conservative black people act like they're the only ones that had fathers, they're the only ones that had family,
right.
they're the only ones that had a decent upbringing. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I had a great upbringing, and I'm not a black conservative. But that's another discussion for another day.
But didn't he call the National Education Association, which is the largest teachers union, a terrorist organization?
Yes, he did. He apologized for it, but he continued to criticize them because they stood in the way of No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
That was his problem with them.
How'd they stand in the way of that again?
Well, I mean, they essentially lobbied against it.
Hmm.
And they pointed out every time they could the different problems with the system, like it was underfunded.
With the test, too, right?
Wasn't
there a problem with the
standardized
test?
Well, yeah, and that's one of the backbones of No Child Left Behind, is that it supposedly constructs a strict accountability system so that if a certain percentage of children don't test well in a particular school, that school faces sanctions until they come up to par. The problem is a lot of schools that people thought were really, really good ended up getting on the No Child Left Behind list. It was incredible, some of the schools. Some of the best schools in America.
No kidding.
Ended up, yes, yes. So there was a little calibration problem there. Let's put it that way.
Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. Here are your marching orders for today. One, welcome Colin Powell back to the light. Give him a big group hug and offer to cleanse his chakra. Two, head to Vegas for a frenzy of gambling, sex, and booze before they take it away. Three, have Catcher in the Rye printed on flame retardant paper to preserve it from right-wing book burners, then refuse to read it because it has no black or Latino characters. Four, figure out how to fault Bush for appointing a black woman to one of the most important positions in his cabinet. Damn it. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it into conversation. The election isn't over, man. You know why? We're still going to make every vote count in Ohio, man. We'll be back in the next hour with Michael Scheuer, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, Michael Scheuer.
The Bin Laden guy from the CIA.
The Bin Laden guy from the CIA was just on
former.
60 Minutes.
Former
yeah.
CIA.
He quit just the other day, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We've got your dream diary coming
and
up.
And Recovery Corner, which we're going to do in the next hour at some point.
Oh, we're going to do Recovery Corner too?
Yeah, I was going to do it before, but then we got to talking.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Well, I could use some recovery.
Okay.
And I can use a corner. I'll go stand in that one.
Go ahead.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Despite mounting denials during the course of the president's reelection campaign that there will be no draft, there are increasing signs now that something must be done to counter the decline in manpower in the ranks of the U.S. military. New York Times reports this morning that the Army has encountered resistance from more than 2,000 former soldiers it has ordered back to the military work. The resistance has further complicated efforts to fill the gaps in regular troops. Those being called are reportedly upset that they are being asked to go to Iraq and Afghanistan, even though they have not received training, held a gun, wore a uniform, or gone jogging for years. Many of those resisting are seeking exemptions or just failing to report to duty. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is President Bush's pick to replace State Secretary Colin Powell. White House made the announcement late in the day yesterday after Powell went public with his resignation. Rice had been on the short list to get the post. Both Rice and Powell have been in the Bush administration and the Republican Party's poster children for their shift to inclusion. Party particularly has been making an effort to dispel the notion that it's Lily White and place minorities in ancillary roles. With Rice now at the helm of foreign policy, her image further galvanizes the party as being inclusive as long as those involved espouse their point of view. Colin Powell often sparred with Condoleezza Rice over Bush White House policy, which she was largely responsible for. White House is saying it ain't so, but Newsday reports continues to report that there's a purge that is underway at the Central Intelligence Agency. President Bush has quietly issued a directive to new agency chief Porter Goss to get rid of anyone who fails to embrace White House policy and leaks information to the press that would be damaging to the Bush White House. Newsday reports have predicated on tips offered by knowledgeable sources. Suddenly, after 4 years of cabinet stability, President Bush has more top-level openings to fill. Yesterday, as we reported, State Secretary Powell announced his departure, as did Secretaries Ann Veneman of Agriculture, Rod Paige of Education, and Spencer Abraham of Energy. Six cabinet members have announced their leaving, and that may not be all. Press Secretary Scott McClellan says the president is continuing the process of shifting through his second-term options. However, McClellan says this amount of turnover is only to be expected in a Bush cabinet that saw only two departures during the first term. Bush has already named a replacement for Attorney General John Ashcroft, his White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez. American soldiers took on insurgents northeast of Baghdad yesterday as their massive sweep of Fallujah was near completion. More than 50 people were killed in the latest clash, but it seems that as one hotspot comes under control, another flares, raising questions about the success of the U.S. campaign. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Don't go in the paint. He's a giant. That's where he lives. He owns it. Offense and defense. Boards, screens, picks and rolls. How can he move that quickly? Man, he's got fast feet for a big guy. Shots up. Erased. Swatted to his point guard waiting on the wing. Easy score. Don't go in the paint.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
This is Earth and Sky for Monday, November 15th. Every 33 years, Comet Temple Tuttle comes near the sun.
Around this time, the ices holding the comet together loosen their grip. The comet starts to shed debris, leaving a long trail of rubble in its wake. Every year in November, our planet Earth plows through these orbiting particles from Temple Tuttle. The particles vaporize in Earth's atmosphere to create the annual Leonid meteor shower.
The cometary debris that fuels the Leonid shower seems to be bunched up along a short section of Temple Tuttle's orbit. That's why every 33 years or so, there's always the possibility of a great Leonid meteor storm whenever Temple Tuttle returns near the sun. The comet returned last in 1998. In 2001, some sky watchers reported 3,000 meteors per hour during the Leonid meteor shower. But that display didn't match the one in 1966, where some observers reported 100,000 meteors in a single hour.
This year, the shower's peak is expected before dawn on November 17th. Any clear night this week should be fine for watching the Leonids. Meteor showers are best between midnight and dawn.
This year's forecast is for only 10 to 15 meteors per hour, but elevated levels are possible.
For more information, come to earthsky.org. Thanks today to Research Corporation, a foundation for the advancement of science. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, dreamers of dreams, people who think things are going to change. They just might. If we can help it, we'll try to help it, right, Mark Riley?
Absolutely.
But right now, there's a shakeup, there's turmoil, there's insanity, I think, going on. The CIA, Porter Goss is in, and he's and heads are rolling, and there's some pissed off people. What do you think of that?
Several pissed off people.
Well, I mean, John McLaughlin, not the guitar player from the 70s.
Mahavishnu.
Mahavishnu John McLaughlin, but the magician, who was the deputy head of the CIA, has resigned as... citing just time to go reasons.
Yeah.
And today, Stephen Kappes and his immediate deputy, Michael Suick, Kappes being the director of operations, said they are leaving, but the speculation is there that there was definitely some infighting going on between the new head, Porter Goss, and these two guys.
Yeah.
And our guest, who is going to definitely shed some light on it for us, is joining us from D.C. He resigned from the CIA last week. He had headed up the Osama bin Laden task force from 96 to 99 and then was an advisor to the task force after 9/11. He is Michael Scheuer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. So now all these departures within the CIA, you know, what do you speculate is causing this?
I think part of it is just the new administration moving in after a long tenure by Mr. Tenet. Part of it, as I gather, and I don't know it firsthand, but while I was in the building until last Friday, there was a lot of discussion about the confrontations between the new director's staff and especially the senior officers in the clandestine service. So I think there's some confrontation. There's some animosities at the moment. I also think there's a great deal of frustration within the clandestine service for more or less being scapegoated for 9/11.
Right. So there's a lot of bitter guys in there about how they were treated in terms of the intelligence they had and what was, you know, demanded from them, and now taking the blame for not giving the information or having the information as solid as the administration wanted it.
Yeah, Mark, it's amazing to me since the 9/11 Commission report came out, which if you read it objectively, it documents 8 or 10 occasions when the United States government in the 18 months from 1998 to the middle of 1999 had the ability to either capture bin Laden or provide information to the military which would have allowed them to kill him with a cruise missile or an airstrike. And on each occasion, the policymaker decided that the information wasn't good enough because if we attacked and missed, it might offend the Europeans or offend Muslim opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a great deal of frustration that the documented occasions of opportunities to end the bin Laden problem 5 or 6 years ago were never acted on. and not even recognized by the American people. So it's a very difficult time for the clandestine service.
Well, what I don't, you know what amazes me, Michael, is that, you know, I'm watching TV right before the election, and George Bush is on TV saying how he's the guy for to fight terror, and that there's no place for him to run, no place for him to hide. And on the same news broadcast, Bin Laden's got a new tape out.
Yeah.
I mean, how do people not look at that and go, this is where you failed?
Well, I think there's a lot of underestimation of the threat that the enemy poses. I think both Mr. Kerry and Mr. Bush are way off base in their idea that somehow this man is just a common terrorist and criminal.
Right.
We're facing a growing insurgency around the world, and I can't. It's hard to grasp how they don't realize that. I admit that, sir.
Is there anything political? I mean, okay, maybe I'm a little conspiratorial in my thinking, but is there anything political in terms of keeping him alive?
No. It clearly it's in the interest of the United States for him to be either captured or killed.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a position to do that in the 90s. Because he was not moving around a lot at the time. We knew where he was or could find it out. Now he's in a place as big as Texas with the highest mountains on Earth, and he's moving whenever he needs to. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's clearly in our interest to kill him.
All right, well, we're going to talk about, when we come back from a break, we're going to talk about what is happening now to get Bin Laden. And we'll be right back with Michael Scheuer after this. It's 11 past the hour on Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Courtesy of Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered CortiSlim once. They've ordered CortiSlim again. So many people have found that CortiSlim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and CortiSlim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me. You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
I got serious in August because I really wanted to hear the NFL, and I didn't even know you were on, and I had to get straight 4 to 6. I'm sitting in fucking traffic. I'd be pulling my hair out if I wasn't.
George from Alabama.
Now it's going to be on where I can actually listen.
Friday was his go-out night.
Oh, I got you.
Monday through Thursday, he was
There we go.
Jersey.
What's your favorite station?
Hot Dogs.
Nice.
Jim Brewer, Unleashed, weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
1 to 7.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog. 147. Comedy. Uncensored.
Except here.
In the promo. What are you going to do?
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Strap on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Here we go.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put it in.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Phone with Michael Scheuer. He just resigned from the CIA last week. He headed the Osama bin Laden task force from 1996 to 1999, and after that he was an advisor to the task force after 9/11.
Michael Scheuer, there's been a lot of controversy about the size of the bin Laden unit, whether it's properly staffed, whether it is actually equipped to go out and capture or kill Osama bin Laden. Did anything you saw toward the end of your time at the CIA give you the impression that the incoming people were going to beef up that unit and make it strong enough to do his job?
I think there was signs of that. I sent a letter to the intelligence committees just before Mr. Goss was confirmed, and I pointed out that throughout the existence of the unit from 1996 until September 2004, the unit had never been adequately staffed. And Senator Feinstein, during the confirmation hearings, read part of my letter to Mr. Goss, and since it's been read, there has been a steady effort to recruit experienced officers to staff the unit that supports all of the operations overseas against Osama bin Laden. The problem is it's a good start, but it's at least 3 years late.
Yeah, and, I would say.
Yeah, it's the kind of issue that I tried to raise in my book about personal responsibility and personal accountability. I think the 9/11 Commission, just for all the good work it did, certainly didn't take into account the nature of personal failures or the nature of just negligence.
Mm-hmm. Now, Newsday reported that the White House had ordered Portergas to purge the agency of anyone who was disloyal to the president. And, of course, Steve Kappas and Michael Sulik both announced their resignations yesterday. Did you have any kind of run-in with any of Portergas's people as they reportedly did? And what do you think of this Newsday story saying that the president is purging the disloyal from the CIA?
I left on a very cordial note with the CIA. It's a great place to work. I enjoyed my career, and I would have done almost anything to remain for the rest of my career as an agency employee. I don't know Mr. Sulik well, but I know Mr. Kappas well, and anybody who would say that he was disloyal to the president or be, on political reasons or any other reasons would be a madman.
All right, well,
Mr. Kappas is a very, very professional officer, and if that kind of purge is going on, certainly it can do nothing but hurt the clandestine service.
Well, following that up, let me ask you then, if it is possible, I mean, there was a lot of concern about Portergas being too partisan. Now, if this is possible, let's say that it is true and that they are purging people disloyal, what is, in your eyes, the real danger of a partisan CIA?
Well, I think we've seen you know, some the slanting of intelligence is what the problem would be if it was, there was a partisan CIA. I really doubt we're going to get to that point, but you would end up with intelligence that supported the administration in power, whatever that administration was.
Okay, well, then following that up here, there was some of the bitterness within the CIA is because of they were sort of bullied to do just that. Now, what I want to ask you is, I know that you're familiar with the book Imperial Hubris. Now, was
well, it's odd. They allowed me to associate my name with it now that I'm retired.
Oh, they did.
There you go.
Well, so we can say that it is your book.
It is, yes, sir.
Okay, well, good. But that's
exciting.
There's
a breakthrough.
Now, I think we just made some news.
I was beginning to wonder who wrote it.
So now, did the CIA authorize that grudgingly, or was there some satisfaction in having a venue to criticize the president?
You know, I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm always loath to think they're going to criticize the president, but in my case, when the book was published, I had to remain anonymous.
Right.
And the book is really an attack on the senior leadership of the intelligence community.
Okay.
And its failures to support the president, whether Republican or Democrat.
Okay. And who are those people?
I think the general, the leadership of the CIA, the leadership of the Defense Department, the leadership of NSA, and certainly the FBI.
In your mind, should Rumsfeld or Cambone, should they have stepped down?
I'm not sure about that, sir. You know, my expertise is into the run-up to 9/11.
Okay.
And I just think for example,
mm-hmm.
one of the most important reasons for the inability of the CIA and the FBI to cooperate before 9/11 and even today is because the FBI doesn't have a computer system that remotely resembles the 20th century, let alone the 21st.
So it's sort of like the post office?
It's a little bit like that.
Hey, I used to work in the post office.
But my point on this is that no one asked Judge Free any of the investigation commissions why he couldn't arrange to have a computer system put in that would make his organization effective.
Mm.
To me, that comes down to personal responsibility, and we don't seem to engage in discussion of that anymore.
Interesting. So I know you got to take off, and I'm going to ask you, you know, if you want, who'd you vote for?
I always vote Republican.
Oh.
It was very hard this time for me to do that, but what turned it for me really was when Justice Rehnquist got sick.
Oh, I wish we had time to follow up, but we don't. Michael Scheuer, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
It's good talking to you.
Sir, it's very kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And if you're listening, he had to go. It was not because
weren't blowing him off, okay?
Don't you
get nervous when people sir you all the time? I mean, it makes me very nervous. I don't know.
There's moments where I don't know if I am a sir. You know, like, not that I'm a woman, but I'm like, wait, I'm not. I'm just Mark. You know, I'm just a guy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And here we got a CIA guy calling me sir.
And then
sir.
Right, but then it elevates the conversation a little bit. Then I'm like, maybe I am a sir, and I do demand a little respect.
Sir Mark of Merry.
Yeah, it's a respectable way to address. I would call you, I'm going to start calling you sir, Mark Riley.
Please don't do that.
No,
please,
sir,
please,
I am,
please.
Sir. I'm going to do that, sir.
Here we go.
That's some pretty interesting stuff. I wish wish we did have time to follow up about the Rehnquist thing and why that would make him vote Republican, but we didn't.
I guess that means he wants to see conservative justices appointed to the Supreme Court.
Well, how about this? You know, let's just shift gears.
Let's do this.
Let's do my dream diary now, because we didn't do it at the top of the segment, because we did want to get as much time as we could in with Michael Scheuer, and it was certainly interesting.
It was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was the second time we talked to him, but the last time he was still anonymous.
He was anonymous, yeah.
So, buddy, it's poetry night at the coffee shop. The guy with the dread steps up to the mic and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, please dig the political stylings of Mark Bongo Marin." I step to the mic. I'd like to read a poem called Heroes by Mark Bongos Marin. Where have the rebel heroes gone? Where are the visionaries we count upon? Where is Keith Richards, King, or Kerouac? Why are today's idols so hopelessly whack? Look around, who's there to pick? Jessica and Nick, I'm gonna be sick! Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight drain the life from the artists and rob their inside. Caught in an evil celebrity trap, monkey goes in, out comes crap. Bring back the Billies, Holiday and Faulkner. Bring back Burroughs and Lester Young, Hendrix, Malcolm and Marley. Get on a Harley, Picasso and Pryor, Janis and Fellini, Ginsberg and Ali. Report for duty immediately.
fill our plastic cup culture with your fire. Push out the hacks and wannabes and liars. Inflame our pens, our cameras, our easels, or don't, and we'll wind up with Vin Diesel. Peace.
Yeah. I woke up and my bed was filled with hollandaise sauce. What
Wait,
do you make of that?
Don't throw that out. Save it for Seattle.
Okay.
That was great.
that
just said everything I wanted to say but haven't said.
Yeah, it's weird. It seeped in. We were talking about it yesterday, and then it seeped into my head. Why don't we throw out Recovery Corner? You know, I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to the one and only George W., my temporary sponsee. So, buddy, I see you've been getting rid of a lot of old frames recently. You know, I know what that's like. You don't need any of those uptight killjoy bookworms bumming your fry. Not that geek power that was Rod Page or Agricultural Secretary Ann Veneman. Talk about a buzzkill. I mean, man, who invited her? But, hey, but don't you see, buddy, this is your first step backwards. Isolate and medicate, getting rid of people who might hold you back. I get what's going on. Might as well bring in some of your old frat buddies, huh? They're not like Powell. They never said no to you back in college when you wanted to invade Iraq or even vomit on stage at a Glenn Campbell concert. But look, I know someone else you need in your administration. How about a guy named Bill W., buddy? How about that? Remember Bill W.? Maybe you should create a new position for at least the ghost of him. Secretary of Getting Your Head Straight. How would that be? Just remember, when you take that first step off that cliff, you're going to want someone with you. Because you're going to be falling 4 long years. And when you hit bottom, we're all hitting bottom with you, buddy. So remember, anger's just a letter away from danger. It works if you work. It's a work. You're worth it. Live it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Get to a meeting, buddy, please. Or hit bottom. Maybe that's what we need. Who knows? Maybe then a change will come, Mark Riley. Sir.
I don't know, man.
Sir Mark Riley.
You know, there's just so many people that are like leaving. First of all, there are 6 in the immediate cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't count Armitage.
Armitage.
That's
the undersecretary to Colin?
Colin Powell, yes. The undersecretary of state. But we've got Powell, we've got Armitage, we've got Ashcroft, we've got Page, we've got Veneman, we've got Abrams, we've got Evans. And, of course, at the Democratic National Committee, McAuliffe is out. The Republican National Committee, Gillespie is out. And at the CIA, Kappas and Sulik are both out. And the word is Thompson and Ridge. From Health and Human Services and Homeland Security, respectively, will be out soon.
How are they going to? Who are they going to fill those? Do they have some sort of clones? Are they going to? You know, sort of cyborg conservative mutant Christo fascists that they're going to just place into all these positions? Do we have any ideas? I guess we have some ideas about some of them.
We have some ideas, but you know what it's going to be? If you want to lump them all together,
yeah.
Loyalists and hardliners.
So people that are afraid to speak out of turn.
No, people who've never, ever in their lives before have spoken out of turn. It's not that they're afraid. They've never done it. It's not even fear of the unknown.
Mm.
It's just not something they do.
Mm.
And people who are personally loyal, like Don Evans. Don't you think it's interesting that on the one hand, Don Evans, the day he resigned as Commerce Secretary, got a glowing letter from George W. Bush, my good friend. Where's the letter? Where's the quote from Colin Powell's resignation? You heard anything out of the president yet?
Well, that's supposedly that's like a very interesting thing is that the president didn't announce it through the executive office.
Yeah.
Powell
did it himself.
The State Department, which means what? That he surprised him? He didn't surprise him.
No. I'm not saying he surprised.
No, I know you're not. I am, and I want you to go. No. I'm not saying that.
My only problem with this entire thing is that Powell's bindle-stiff son is still running the FCC.
Yeah, he's holding us all down.
He's holding us all hostage around here.
It's all about boobs with him.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's just a scam, too.
To find somebody $500,000 and pretend like you're doing something about indecency is so hypocritical.
It's ridiculous.
But you know what? He'll fail upward, too. He'll get his own TV show, maybe a Michael Powell reality show.
That guy's
a
hole.
Yeah, that too. Holy, hey.
Hey, listen. This is something you don't hear very often. I was wrong.
Oh.
That's Clutch Arson. I was wrong. What do we got coming up?
We got
a bunch of stuff, actually.
We've got Kenneth Walsh, who's the chief White House correspondent for U.S. News and World Report. He's going to join us to talk about the Colin Powell resignation, the ascension of Condoleezza Rice, because you mentioned Condoleezza Rice ascending.
Yes.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. With almost $4 billion thrown at federal political campaigns this cycle, it's clear that campaign finance reform was a joke. Those of us who want to break the corrosive links between politicians and their big bucks backers need a new strategy.
Stopping dirty money from flowing into politics may be impossible, but there is a clean money way to ensure that no strings attached candidates can effectively compete. How? By adopting full public financing like the systems in use in Arizona and Maine. In this system, all candidates who raise a specified number of small contributions and agree to a spending cap are given full public financing. This prevents candidates from owing favors to big donors and ensures that politicians spend their time listening to citizens, not groveling for cash. And it diversifies the field. Latino and Native American candidates tripled after Arizona began public financing. In light of the billions the special interest fuel Congress is costing us, public financing is dirt cheap. It's the best investment we can make. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Are your employees falling asleep on the job? Productivity down. Customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring the Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Aha! According to my PDA, I'm supposed to tell you about the wonders of automotive technology. Or in this case, a technological lack of technology. I'll maneuver you through the double talk when we come back. Hi, this is Bobby Ligas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. In the age of multitasking, it's possible for drivers to talk on the phone, check email, and find directions on a GPS, all while tuning in a favorite song. Possible, but not recommended. And that's where the Smart Assistant comes in. Designed by BMW, this system uses sensors to detect traffic, road layout, and driver's actions. Each element is assigned a pre-established complexity rating, which is analyzed by an onboard computer. If the rating exceeds a certain threshold, the Smart Assistant diverts certain functions from the driver until the complexity level drops. Wow, talk about autopilot. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
If you have kids, chances are you don't know that right now in your house, something potentially deadly is waiting for your children. It's disguised as ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. These kids don't know that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. If you know what they're up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. Be anti-drug.
Thank you.
4 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Morning Sedition, talking a lot about the departure of many cabinet members from the neoconservative death cult as of late. But right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 141, Leaders of Iraq. Leaders of Iraq. Hey, what's the matter? Did the siege of Fallujah poop you out? Ah, that's better. So I saw where our boys blocked an Iraqi Red Crescent convoy carrying emergency food, water, and medical supplies from entering Fallujah. Yeah, well, actually, I do have a good reason. Two, in fact. One, we're the only ones that get to deliver humanitarian aid. Not you, okay? Us. As much as Americans like to blow stuff up and knock stuff down, we get almost as big a rush out of feeding people and patching things up afterwards. I know, it's totally bipolar schizo behavior, but there it is. We like to play the great Satan and then play Santa Claus. Only unlike Santa Claus, we want everyone who we just made homeless to know who's giving them the goodies 2 days later. Your Red Crescent goodies would have killed our philanthropic buzz, so step off. Hey, two, we just don't trust you. No offense, but when a bunch of Arab trucks show up saying they've got food, water, medical supplies for the hospital, our first response isn't, hey, that's fantastic, because there are thousands of people here who could really see and use that stuff. It's more like, you're staying right here, Mr. Aspiring Terrorist, because you may have planted C4 inside the hummus. Hey, I'm afraid you're on the do not trust list until things calm down a little. But in the meantime, if you want to fork over the food, water, and medical supplies and let us deliver them, I'm sure they'll get in the right hands. And yes, the right hands are always ours. So good luck and God bless, and by God I mean our God. This has been Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 141, Live Free or Die. Joining us on the phone now from Bethesda, Maryland, is Kenneth Walsh. He is U.S. News and World Report Chief White House Correspondent. We're going to talk about the cabinet. Everyone's leaving, Kenneth. And we want to know is, you know, were they pushed out? Who was pushed out? Obviously, Colin Powell has been on his way out for a while. What do you think?
Well, we got about half the cabinet now on the way out. And I think what's happened here, particularly in Powell's case, is that he was pretty much expected to leave, but then with Arafat's death, the feeling was maybe he'd stick around to sort of see what he could get going as far as the Middle East peace process goes. But obviously, he decided not to do that. And I think that what's happened is basically Powell just, I think, didn't want to keep beating his head against the wall as far as being sort of the odd man out in arguing for sort of multilateralism, keeping diplomacy going and so on.
Do you think that's going to be the biggest downfall of his leaving, is that the Middle East peace process, which is fairly non-existent now, may be continuing to be non-existent?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much he could have made a difference anyway. I think President Bush is wedded to a hard line in the Middle East against the Palestinians and terrorists, of course, and I don't think that would have changed whether Powell was there or not. But I think what's happened here is that the people around President Bush who have pushed for this hard line, Vice President Cheney, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, apparently have all the cards now.
Mm-hmm.
Condoleezza Rice moving to the State Department only enhances that position. So no matter what people think of it, I think the reality is that we're going to have more of the same kind of approach that we had in the first term.
Kenneth Walsh, should we take anything from the fact that very little was heard from the president about Secretary Powell's resignation, in contrast, for example, to when Don Evans resigned, when he sent him a letter that was publicized that was, you know, very flowery language, or maybe we'll hear this from the president later today?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, that's a good point. I mean, so far, you know, Don Evans, of course, has been one of the president's best friends for many years from Texas, now, I think that there's plenty of time for Bush to make these comments about Powell. I think that they have established a sort of two-step process here with these high-profile nominations and resignations. There's the first day that the person resigns, and then pretty much the second day they name the successor, which I would expect today. But I think that what you talked about there, the difference between the president's effusive praise, very warm response to Don Evans and sort of the lack of that with Powell, I think indicates there have been some frictions there. But I think there's going to be plenty of time for Bush to really praise Powell, and there'll be lots of ceremonies and so on. So I don't think there's going to be any sort of hard feelings in that way. I think the hard feelings are more that Powell was unable to prevail in the internal debates in the administration.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to, obviously, the people who are leaving that are on the foreign policy side, a number of people like Rod Paige, Ann Veneman, Spencer Abraham, and Don Evans are all leaving. These are people who deal primarily with domestic policy. Is there any reason to believe that Bush, anyone other than Bush loyalists will be named to fill these jobs?
No, I think that's a very good point. I think what we're seeing here is sort of a flow of power to the White House and to President Bush himself. He's sort of taking the reins of power to himself in a second term. What I'm told by the White House folks is that he doesn't really need to be on a learning curve anymore. I mean, all presidents have to do that when they first take over. But he's very confident now of what he's doing and that he knows sort of how to handle things. So I think the premium will be on loyalty. And I think foreign policy and domestic policy at the most important point, in other words, the policy-making point, it will be run out of the White House with Bush and Cheney, I think, at the top of the list, of course, more than ever. And then on domestic policy, everything flowing through Karl Rove, the sort of the senior counselor at the White House, is riding really high because he ran the reelection effort, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see a more centralized policymaking operation now in the second term with still a quite a conservative approach to things. And I think any internal debate over any of that is over.
Assuming that Condoleezza Rice is confirmed as Secretary of State, would you think her first initiative is going to be in the Middle East? Do you think that she is at all positioned to deal with the death of Yasser Arafat in terms of trying to fashion some sort of adherence to the roadmap?
Yeah, I think there's two things I think I would expect them to do right off the bat. One is to try to see what possibilities there are in the Middle East. I mean, President Bush has been very much a believer that Arafat was an obstacle to peace, and so I think there's going to be an effort now to see this as a strategic opening, Arafat's death, to see what can be done there to calm things down and to revive this whole idea of a roadmap to peace. I think the second thing is to try to build some bridges to our European allies. I think that I don't think the president is willing to go too far. He's going to have to see some favorable response back. The way the White House explained it to me is that the president's willing to extend his arm to Germany and France, particularly France, but his arms only extend so far, and they're going to have to reach pretty far themselves. So I think that's the second thing that Rice would do as Secretary of State, try to see what she could do to bring what Secretary Rumsfeld calls old Europe back into more of a cooperative attitude toward the U.S. That's going to be difficult, but I think that's going to be the second objective she'll have.
What about Iran and Korea?
Well, you know, those are the toughest problems as far as our security goes, is in my mind, because you have two sort of rogue regimes there, you know, approaching the point where the weapons of mass destruction will be sort of hot issues not too far from now. And I don't think anyone's devised an adequate plan to deal with them. It's very, very tough to do, but I think there will be more engagement. But in the end, I think President Bush and Vice President Cheney feel that a tough line is the best line in dealing with them. And I don't think you'll see the kind of approach that existed during the Clinton administration, where trying to see, for instance, to develop multi-party talks with North Korea. I think it's going to be more of a harder line than that. I don't know how that'll come out. You know, no one does. But I think pretty much just staying the course in being tough and in negotiating and in trying to push North Korea toward a more, you know, sort of civilized approach to the world, I think is what they're going to try to do. I don't think there's a great deal of hope that that's going to work. I think the feeling is that just have to stay tough with them, and that's the best.
And hope they don't shoot off a nuclear weapon.
Exactly.
But with Iran, I mean, you know, staying tough, I mean, obviously our troops are overextended in Iraq now. I mean, is there any indication from when you're sitting, either speculative or anything you've heard, that they're planning some sort of a preemptive invasion of Iran?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, as you say, our troops are pretty stretched pretty thin. I think the feeling is that there's got to be some other way to deal with them, and they're still working that out, but it's a tough problem, and I think that, you know, now that we have troops in Iraq and still in Afghanistan and fighting the war on terrorism, there's really not a lot of other troops to go around, and that's a real problem. So I think that that's one of the many challenges Bush has to deal with.
Final quick question, Kenneth Walsh. There's speculation that Tommy Thompson will exit Health and Human Services and Tom Ridge will leave the Department of Homeland Security. Have you been hearing that? Are they the next two to go?
Yeah, I think definitely. In fact, you know, the Powell resignation, the precise timing was something of a surprise because a lot of people did expect exactly that, Thompson and Ridge would go. I still think that those two secretaries will leave in the not-too-distant future, probably probably before Thanksgiving, they'll announce their departures. So then we'll have pretty much fully half the cabinet will be on the way out.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much, Kenneth Walsh, for joining us. Great talking to you.
Appreciate it.
You take care. So we got the liberal confessional coming up. We're also, we want you to call us with your own liberal confessions, 866-303-2270. And that means, like, we all do the best we can in maintaining progressive and liberal views, but sometimes we slip, and either we think or behave in ways that may not be too liberal or progressive. Why don't you call and share
that? We
want
to hear from the strays. The people have been straying from the straight and narrow.
866-303-2270. We'll be back with the liberal confessional 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Right here on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
College Rivalry Saturday heats up this weekend on Sirius Sports. The Gators take on the Seminoles for bragging rights in the state of Florida. The Buckeyes play host to Michigan. The Tigers and Crimson Tide rock Alabama. And Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt. When these teams get together, it ain't about the standings or the BCS. It's all about the pride. Hear all the action this Saturday on Sirius Sports. For game times and channels, go to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember,
your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, the big dog here for Sirius Satellite Radio. Now, someone once said, you can have too much of a good thing. What kind of knucklehead came up with that one? Oh, yeah, boss, I don't want 3 weeks vacation. That'd be too much. A week will be just fine. Or, baby, you want me to go out with you and your roommate? No, I couldn't imagine that. Well, at Sirius, we don't buy into that stuff. We don't think you could ever have too much of a good thing. That's why we make it so easy for you to get an additional Sirius subscription.
Right now, you can save big on Sirius, because an additional Sirius subscription is just $6.99 a month. That's $6.99 a month. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Sirius.com, your favorite retailer, for details.
Another Sirius subscription isn't too much of a good thing. It's probably just the right amount.
Want radio your way? Ride with the big dog. Sirius Satellite Radio.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Yeah, we got confessions lining up here, Riley. 866-303-2270 if you want to confess your lack of liberal, what it is basically is that as a liberal or progressive or even a Democrat, if you find yourself faltering somehow, either in your mind or in your actions, we're taking calls. And right now it's my turn. Look, you know, Riley, sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the morning sedition confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden?
Well,
myself?
Now, buddy, the election is over and I don't have to focus on the immediate takedown of Bush anymore. I feel ready to move on, man.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You can move on to other important issues like the Supreme Court or the midterm elections.
No,
or...
dude, you don't understand. The thing is, I want to move on from politics. I'm just burnt out. I want to relax and watch a movie just for the fun of it. How about that? I want my overweight auteur of choice to be Alfred Hitchcock, not Michael Moore or Orson Welles. And I want to listen to non-political music. The only protest song I want to hear is a song that protests against the fact that women can really break your heart sometimes. What's wrong with that?
Well, Mark, we can all use a break.
But I want a break to last for years, buddy. I want to fall into a pop culture-induced coma that lasts through the second term of Bush and all the way through the both Bill Frist administrations and then well into the Tom DeLay monarchy. I guess what I'm saying is I just don't have the energy anymore to deal with the course that the 21st century seems to be taking, Riley.
Mark, my son, a lot of people who had heavy emotional investments in the campaign are feeling just the way you do.
Are they?
It's completely understandable.
Okay.
So go ahead, young man.
All right.
Take the time to relax. Watch as many DVDs as you'd like. Listen to sugary pop music. Read every Harry Potter book cover to cover.
Really? You giving me permission to do that?
Yes, absolutely. Indulge your need to escape. Partake in the glorious tapestry of life.
Wow. Cool, man.
Then be back here at 6 a.m. sharp tomorrow morning with some solid ideas for blocking Bush's new cabinet appointments.
Oh, okay.
Now go forth and sin no more.
Amen. So let's hear what you guys have to say. I've been absolved.
Yes.
Sharon in Florida, what's on your mind?
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm okay.
I'm good. Yeah, I have this real conflict going on here because I'm a liberal.
Yeah.
But I carry a gun.
Wow. Well, you
really?
Know.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Are you a cop?
No.
Wait a minute. Is the gun legal?
Yeah, it is.
Is it registered, you infidel?
Yeah, it's registered. I got a permit. I got everything. But, like, you know, even when I went to all those rallies for John Kerry and everything, I had to leave it at home and everything.
Well, yeah, that would be a good idea. You don't want any of your Kerry supporters end up eating hot lead because, you know, they fell on your foot or something.
No, but I carry a gun, so I don't know.
Wait, is this for personal security? Are you afraid?
It is for security, yes.
Do you think it's wrong?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then I guess you know,
you're absolved.
You're absolved.
You know how we live.
Thanks for sharing that, though.
You don't need to feel conflicted.
But that's one of those issues, man. You know, like I said, I grew up with guns, and you know, obviously there's too many guns on the street, and there's too many gun deaths in this country. But there's some part of me as well that's sort of like, well, you know, if you got a gun at home. Because, you want to protect your house and you want to protect your stuff and you don't want to get killed or robbed or something. There's some part of me that says that's got to be okay.
But she's got a carry permit, man. Pistol packing Sharon over here.
Well, maybe maybe Sharon's a little
in
more
in New York,
frightened.
You couldn't get away with this.
No, obviously. But Florida's like the Wild West, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know. You can buy your guns right next door to the McDonald's.
But there's some part of me that believes that responsible gun ownership is possible and should be allowed. I have to admit. Evan in New York, listening to WLIB. What do you got?
Hey, Evan.
How are you? I'm a tree-hugging, broad-writing liberal.
Uh-oh.
And I have to confess, I've been eyeing Arnold Schwarzenegger as a potential...
Wait. What do you mean by eyeing?
A potential.
Well, not in a sexual way.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But as a potential okay candidate for president.
But you're a Democrat, I'm assuming.
Very, very left-wing, ultra... progressive liberal Democrat.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Evan. I've had some of the same feelings about Arnold in the sense that I look at him, I realize he's not your run-of-the-mill Republican. You know, he does have some his pro-stem cell research. He seems to be doing some good things with social policy in California. But I think we're buying into the hype. The truth of the matter is, just because he's married to a Kennedy, he's still the son of a Nazi, and he's just a movie star. And I think what we're doing is we're actually we're seeing strength in the wrong places. So. I'll absolve you only because I've had some of the same feelings, but I think you should purge yourself of those
feelings. Purge yourself. Watch a Predator movie.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't buy a Hummer then?
No, definitely not. Maybe a gun. Maybe
Toyota
a gun. You can buy a gun, but not a Hummer. Okay, there's a compromise. Thanks a lot, Evan.
Oh, that's Evan. I'm sorry. That wasn't Stuart.
We got Stuart coming now. Stuart, what's your confession, my friend?
What's up, Stuart?
How you doing, guys?
I'm okay.
Good morning. I was so depressed after the results of the election.
Uh-huh.
That I said that I'm about 51 years old, and
yeah.
I said that I was going to just live in my own little bubble world, that I wasn't going to watch any more political talk shows,
right.
I wasn't going to listen to the radio anymore.
Yeah.
I probably won't get a woman pregnant at this point, so I don't care about the abortion rights.
Uh-huh.
I was going to dumb myself down to the rest of America, that I was going to watch all the reality shows that I've never seen before, and I have to confess that I just started to come back, obviously, to starting to listen to radio again and watch some of the political things that are going on, and find it very disturbing what's going on with the cabinet and such.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much what I have to say.
But wait a minute.
What?
Well, Stuart, how are you so sure you're not going to get a woman pregnant again?
Well, I'm in a monogamous relationship, and we're both over 50, so...
You haven't heard about the woman here in New York, have you? She was 56 and had twins.
I understand that, but at my house, it's not going to happen. I guarantee it.
here's your penance, Stuart. Here's your penance. Yeah, I'm glad you're back, and I appreciate you coming back, but I think you're going to have to try to get on a reality show.
Yeah.
Get on a reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my big, fat, obnoxious boss.
Yeah, maybe Survivor. Is there another Survivor you can get on?
I've never seen this show, so I don't even know what it is. But,
me neither.
I don't either, actually.
You guys were right on that Schwarzenegger deal. What is his qualification to run the nation, other than he's a B actor and he was the son of a Nazi? You got that right on. I have no idea what he's doing in California.
Yeah.
And
you are back, Stuart. you're back with a vengeance.
You are.
Welcome back, man.
I am back, and I listen to you guys now. I really like Ed Schultz in the afternoon, and he kind of gets my blood boiling. So,
okay.
Keep up the good work, and
thank you.
We'll get him next year.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Stuart. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So next hour, we're going to talk about Walmart. That's going to be very exciting.
We're going to talk about Walmart and, you know.
With Hendrik Smith.
He's
a Pulitzer Prize winning author, and I saw his documentary, Is Walmart Good for America, last night. It's terrific.
Yeah, and I'm real interested in this because Walmart is one of those fascinating things in American life.
Okay, thanks for your calls.
Thanks for your calls. We'll get to you again sometime soon here on Air America Radio.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The government's pension insurance agency is seeing hard times. The agency says its deficit has more than doubled in the past year to $23.3 billion. Agency says it has been set back by a string of bankruptcies in the airline and steel industries. Several experts say the situation is so bad that an overhaul of the way traditional pensions are funded and insured has become essential. The pensions of about 44 million workers and retirees are insured by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. If the corporation cannot meet its obligations, guess what? Taxpayers could be called on paying the bill. Agency insiders say there's a crisis, and the Bush White House has been treating the situation like it's no big deal. Newsday has been reporting that President Bush has quietly issued a directive to clean out the Central Intelligence Agency of those elements who fail to tell the administration's policies and provide damaging information to the media about the agency's operations. Ex-CIA figure Michael Shorter knows a thing or two about that phenomenon. His controversial book aroused the ire of agency heads and officials in the White House. Shorter called it quits on Friday. This morning, he officially made news on Air America's Mornings Edition. Listen to this exchange between Mark Maron and Mark Reilly and Michael Shorter.
Now, what I want to ask you is, I know that you're familiar with the book Imperial Hubris. Now, with
well, it's odd. They allowed me to associate myself, my name with it now that I'm retired.
Oh, they did.
There you go.
Well, so we can say that it is your book.
It is, yes, sir.
Okay, well, good. But that's
exciting.
Yeah,
that's a breakthrough.
Now, I think we just made some news.
I was beginning to wonder who wrote it.
Michael Shorter, as he appeared in Morning's Edition in the past hour. Grounds around the White House are a frequent site for protest demonstrations, so President Bush's Secret Service was prepared for the unexpected yesterday when the Yemeni's national tried to commit suicide because of his frustration over not being able to visit his family back home. 52-year-old Mohammed Al-Ansi set himself on fire as part of his protest. He's described as an FBI informant on terrorism who recently conducted a series of interviews with the Washington Post. Prime Minister of Great Britain Tony Blair called on Europe and the United States to bury the hatchet over the war in Iraq. At the same time, Blair recommended that all energies be devoted to global challenges such as lasting peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Blair offered a word of advice, suggesting that lampooning of the U.S. administration was only self-defeating and that a positive attitude from European leaders could temper impulses in Washington to go it alone around the world. Blair is the first world leader to meet with President Bush since winning re-election. He also had developed a relationship purportedly with John Kerry before the election, but Blair has consistently stood by the president at the risk of poor public opinion way back home. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
It's Sunday Morning Rocks on Sirius Central 148 with your hosts, rockin' comedian Jim Brewer at 6 a.m. Rock and roll author Dave Marsh at 10. And Rolling Stone on Sirius, middays. Sundays, rock and roll on Sirius Central, 148.
This is Earth and Sky with a listener's question.
She writes, why don't I see any stars in pictures taken from the space shuttle or the surface of the moon? It seems like the stars and planets as seen from outer space would be spectacular.
The astronauts' pictures are mostly of objects brightly lit by sunlight. so they need only a short exposure time, in most cases too short to capture the image of a star. Also, their pictures are probably processed deliberately just to bring out objects in the foreground. So again, the stars go unrecorded.
So would the stars be spectacular as seen from outer space? The Earth's atmosphere absorbs only about 10 to 15% of incoming optical light. So the view out the window of the space shuttle, or that from the surface of the moon, wouldn't look too different from what you could see from a dark country location. One difference would stem from the fact that Earth's atmosphere causes the stars to twinkle. From the shuttle or the lunar surface, you'd see the stars as perfectly steady and untwinkling.
People often ask if you could see stars with the eye alone during the day from the surface of the moon. The answer is yes, because the moon doesn't have an atmosphere. Stars are visible from the moon's day side, even at lunar high noon. That's our show for today. To ask your Earth or sky question, visit our website at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses. How are you? What's going on? Philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, pet owners and Walmart shoppers, liberals and conservatives of all sorts. Welcome to Morning Sedition. Good morning to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning to you, Mark Maron.
Always nice to see you. I got a problem here. I just found this article. Look, We got some good guests. We got one good, great guest coming up.
Yeah.
Only one guest is our, but I mean, I just wanted, because I watched his
show. Documentary, yeah.
The documentary, Is Walmart Good for America? It's a Frontline documentary. We got an advanced copy. Our guest is going to be Hendrik Smith. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. And very interesting stuff, the Walmart stuff, because we were talking about, I've only been there like once when I was driving cross country because I'm a Target guy, but I know Target's probably just as bad. But generally, Walmart, as I said before, They're not stores, they're towns, they have mayors, they have, party systems.
City councils, the whole nine yards.
They're probably more Republican than anything else. But I, again, not unlike Home Depot, when there are so many options, I generally get overwhelmed. And I think that for some people, that just, kicks them into a hypnotic state and they just sort of wander around and buy cheap things. But a lot of this stuff is bait and switch. I don't know if you knew that they have these really low prices up in front.
Yeah.
And then when you see the low price thing, you're like, oh, they must all be low price, and apparently they're not.
But it's one of the great paradoxes, I think, that people are going to face during the 21st century, is getting low prices worth
losing your job?
Yeah, losing your job. I mean, that really is going to be, because there's going to come a time, Mark, at the rate that Walmart's going, once they start with all these supermarket things, people will be encouraged to go there for everything.
I just like, that's what I love about New York, and I love about, a dying part of America, is that the great thing about going to small stores to buy specialty items, whether it's a hardware store or auto parts store or almost any kind of store, even
a curio shop,
anything like that. These stores, like my grandfather owned a hardware store when I was a kid, and people would come in just to hang out.
Yeah.
Guys would come in, even in Queens there was one. There's something about old men in hardware stores. Guys that got nothing to do. Anytime you walk into a hardware store, there'd be like four old guys that don't even work there willing to help you out because they have nothing to do.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to go home.
You're absolutely right. I didn't even think about this, but there's a hardware store that's sandwiched in Lower Manhattan, among all of this huge place called J&R Music World.
Sure, I know.
They got that whole long block, and in the middle of the block is this one hardware store that's been there before, and it's always full.
Yeah.
If you go down there, they got more people in there sometimes than they have in the big store.
Well, it's a place where you can go talk about stuff, and I think that happens, you know, for both men and women. You know, men sort of gravitate towards hardware stores, auto parts stores, but there was if the guy from the town owned the place, you go down, you talk to the guy, and maybe another guy comes in, you can discuss, you know, different ways to fix something, or you can discuss whatever it is, sports, whatever you're going to do, and the women had their stores, that, you know, and now if everything's under one roof and it's sort of impersonal like that, I guess you can get to know the people that work at the Walmart.
No, you know what you've just done,
everybody,
don't you?
But if everybody works at the Walmart in the whole damn town.
You know what you've done?
What?
Walmart will now create an official talker.
Because of me?
Because of you. They'll say, well, you know, that sounds like a really good idea. We'll hire a guy, pay a minimum wage, and have him come in, and he can just, like, discuss issues
with
you.
But it's not the same. I mean, Christ, I used to go to guitar stores. You know, every time someone would come visit me from out of town when I was living down the Lower East Side, I'd just spend, because I'm a comic.
Never mind. We can't get into that.
No, but I mean, I used to walk around just like, I'd spend my day, I'd go to the record store, talk to the guy at the record store, just talk about music for an hour, then go to the guitar shop, you know, just hang out and play guitars and talk to whoever was in there. And then I'd go to the coffee place, the Puerto Rican Importers place or whatever it's called, and I'd sit in there and I'd drink some coffee, talk to that guy.
Yeah.
I used to go to bookstores, go to St. Mark's Books, and talk to the guy over there. I mean, it was just like part of, you know, the fabric of the city of being, you know, of engaging with people who own small businesses like that or just from small shops. You develop a rapport.
Well, because
with these
you
people.
Feel like they know something about what it is they're selling, particularly when it comes to music or guitar.
You can hang out. I guess you can hang out at the Walmart. They got a restaurant there usually and stuff, but I don't know. It's sort of like I've been to the cafe at Kmart, but it's not fun.
Oh, no. They're not fun, but Walmart will create, because they do try to create this whole friendly atmosphere. If you look at their advertising that's on television, I retired people end up working there and they end up making bonding with 5-year-old kids that come in there to buy stuff. They're trying to create that same kind of atmosphere in a gigantic space. And the question then becomes, can you actually get away with that? My guess is no.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's sad to me because so much of what was once American authenticity and certainly made in America, the integrity of American products is gone. But just the fact that, like, you know, none of these cafes or stores, you go to a Kmart cafe, I mean, what the hell are you going to get, really?
Swedish meatballs. That's what they got in
IKEA. That's the IKEA thing. But IKEA, though, is at least exotic. I mean, on some level, IKEA is unique in that, you know, it is sort of, you know, at the cutting edge of design. And no matter what, it is a relatively... It's not an organic company or necessarily a healthy company, but there's something about IKEA. Like, when you go in, it's not just, you know, crappy, you know, pseudo-American food. It's like, you know, you get Swedish meatballs and they have herring, and it's weird.
It is kind of weird.
It's kind of exotic and it's kind of cool. But
can you pronounce any of the names of any of the designers that they have?
It's always like Korpusch or Gagensbock.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like unbelievable.
Fledenbock.
Hey, you're gonna make Jonathan mad, all right?
Wait, what Jonathan say yesterday?
I was wrong.
What a wonderful thing that was.
So, you know what's the problem, though? And see, this you get to understand. If
is
you
IKEA
watch
bad,
it,
though?
No. IKEA's not bad.
Do we know?
No, they're not that bad.
All right.
But the weird thing is, when you go to a community like Harlem, for example,
mm-hmm.
and you look on 125th Street, the main drag of the community,
mm-hmm.
and you suddenly see all of these corporate businesses. Now, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you go on the same block, most of the storefronts would be empty.
Yeah.
So for Harlem residents, the choice was between, you know, the Subway and the Kmart and the Starbucks or whatever, because they got a Starbucks on 125th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Or an empty storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, you know, people tend to look at it. That was the whole thing with Walmart in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing jobs to the community. We're bringing a space here where there was nothing before. And see, that's the thing about Walmart that gets to be insidious. They're not doing Walmarts for people with a whole bunch of money, because they'll go and spend it wherever they want if they're not worried about price. Walmart is for people who worry about price.
But it's also like, I'm a victim of this, so like we've done this with Target, not Walmart, but where you're just sort of like, well, we need a garbage can, I need a tire, and some cereal.
Yeah. So I'll go to one place to get it all.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I would never go grocery shopping there, but how they suck you in and you just realize that you're just one of millions and millions of people that are spending an extra buck because of those, you know, that six pack of gum. You know, if you go to buy a garbage can and some window cleaner, you know, you end up buying, well, hell, they got cereal here and let's just get this ketchup.
Hey, you
and
know what?
You spend $3 more than you were going to.
You know what you do? You're making me remember the one time I went to a Walmart. I went to a Walmart upstate New York, in Hudson.
Right.
Went in there to get a pair of shoes for my daughter. That's all we needed was a pair of shoes.
Right.
We ended up spending like $30.
Right.
You know, I got a pair of sandals that I still have.
Yeah.
We bought like soap and stuff because it was all so cheap.
And a 100 pack of hamburgers.
Yeah. I don't eat red meat. But yeah, but you that's know, exactly I what I would have bought if I had seen it.
That's how they design them, man. And obviously we're pretty engaged with this subject. So it's great that we have Hendrik Smith. He's going to be talking to us about Is Walmart Good for America? It's a Frontline documentary that airs tonight on PBS. After this, it's 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, your daily wake-up call to arms on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. With almost $4 billion thrown at federal political campaigns this cycle, it's clear that campaign finance reform was a joke. Those of us who want to break the corrosive links between politicians and their big bucks backers need a new strategy. Stopping dirty money from flowing into politics may be impossible, but there is a clean money way to ensure that no strings attached candidates can effectively compete. How? By adopting full public financing like the systems in use in Arizona and Maine. In this system, all candidates who raise a specified number of small contributions and agree to a spending cap are given full public financing. This prevents candidates from owing favors to big donors and ensures that politicians spend their time listening to citizens, not groveling for cash. And it diversifies the field. Latino and Native American candidates tripled after Arizona began public financing. In light of the billions the special interest-fueled Congress is costing us, public financing is dirt cheap. It's the best investment we can make. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Are you getting burned by bills? High-interest credit card debt putting the heat on you? Fight fire with fire. That's right, fire. Financial independence and resource education will eliminate your unsecured debt for a fraction of what you owe, without a loan. Are you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 or more in debt and paying outrageous interest rates? Let the professionals at FIRE put 40 years of experience to work for you. They'll negotiate and settle your debt down to 20 to 40% of what you now owe. You can reduce monthly payments immediately and be debt-free in less than 24 months. The FIRE experts are so sure they can eliminate your debt, they even offer a risk-free money-back guarantee. So give them a try. FIRE can even correct your past mistakes by helping you clean up your credit report and remove late payments, bankruptcies, charge-offs, and collections. So remember, fight fire with FIRE. Call FIRE now at 1-866-659-1131. That's 1-866-659-1131. 866-659-1131.
College Rivalry Saturday heats up this weekend on Sirius Sports. The Gators take on the Seminoles for bragging rights in the state of Florida. The Buckeyes play host to Michigan. The Tigers and Crimson Tide lock Alabama. And Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt. When these teams get together, it ain't about the standings or the BCS. It's all about the pride. Hear all the action this Saturday on Sirius Sports. For game times and channels, go to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there.
Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry, I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd. And a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
On Survivor. The tribe was shaken up by the departure of John, who sang his way right off the island.
Let the eagle soar.
And with his exit, Alberto became the new tribe suck-up.
Just give me a chance to prove myself.
Then, after tribal challenge, tribe leader George kept control of the coveted immunity idol and used it to cast away any tribe member who wasn't firmly in his alliance.
I earned capital, political capital, and now I intend to spend it.
Rod, Ann, Spencer, and Don fell victim to the tribal mandate.
Next.
Colin was obviously not loyal enough and had his torch extinguished. At first, he was in denial of his departure.
Now, I'm not leaving today,
But the tribe had spoken, and Colin was dragged from the island, leaving his dignity behind.
Bring the camera back, please.
Nine remain. Some will stay, others will meet their pathetic end. But in the end, there will be only one survivor, and hey, we all know who that is.
Chimpy. Oh, boy. Now, let's get back. Getting back, as a great piece, Brendan P.W. McDonald.
Nice work.
On the controls, building the fake ads. Good job.
Yeah.
It's 21 past yard. I mentioned that, and that's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Morning Sedition. Our guest now is Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and the senior producer and correspondent for Frontline's documentary, Is Walmart Good for America? Good morning, Hedrick Smith. How are you?
Mark and Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I really enjoyed the documentary, and I tell you, you got to travel a bit. You went to Arkansas, Ohio, and China.
I don't know what your tribe is, but we were in all the tribal spots, that's for sure.
So now, I was so engaged with this documentary, and Walmart, I think clearly in my mind, is bad for America, and Walmart seems to encourage manufacturers to move all their business overseas, which is a big issue right now, certainly for the American workforce. How do they do that?
Well, you know, one of the amazing things to me, at least in working on this thing over the last 6 months, was to discover how much power retailers have.
Mm-hmm.
At least I used to think of General Motors, General Electric, the big manufacturing companies, whatever, Black and Decker, Rubbermaid, you name it, whoever was making things, they kind of ran the show. They decided what products they would make, they designed them, they produced them, they put them out there for retailers to sell them, and basically they called a tune. What's happened over the last 15 years is that thing has all been turned around by these big box retailers, especially Walmart, but also Target, Home Depot, Toys R Us, and some of the others as well, Kmart, Sears. And what they've done, particularly Walmart, is mastered information technology. They take that little thing, the barcode, they study it, they put computers to work on it, and they figure out exactly what we're all buying. You know, in Chicago, do people like crunchy peanut butter or smooth? What kind of jeans sell in Minnesota as compared to what kind of jeans sell in Arizona or Texas or Hartford, Connecticut?
Sure.
All the way down the line. They figure out what the price points are and so forth. They amass all this information, and then they have turned the tables on the manufacturers. They're saying to Black & Decker, we want a $99 lawnmower. Maybe most of your lawnmowers cost $159, $249, $369, whatever it is. We want to bring everybody into the store with a $99 lawnmower or a $38 kid's bike. And they put the heat on Huffy bicycles or Black & Decker to produce it. And if they can't do it in America, they basically say to them, hey, you got to move to China because we can get it done there because labor only costs 25 cents, 50 cents an hour.
So they shut down the manufacturer in the States if they can't accommodate the needs of their retail outlet because they are, you know, slowly becoming the only retail outlet almost.
Yeah, well, it's overdoing it to say they shut them down. They basically say, if you want to be on our shelves, you got to produce it at this cost, and we know you can't do it unless you do it in Bangladesh or Cambodia or China, and mostly it's China today.
But okay, so they're sort of kind of not so subtly coercing American manufacturers to put manufacture overseas, but they have put a couple of manufacturers out of business.
Yeah. There's no question they've done that. They've either put them out of business or they've made a move over. I mean, Rubbermaid is a good example. They got under the gun. They got in a fight with Walmart back in the mid-90s. Walmart took a lot of their stuff off the shelves. They kept some stuff, but they really hurt Rubbermaid. Rubbermaid went into a tailspin, got into other troubles, sold out to a rival. We went to China. We found a new Rubbermaid plant in China making stuff there. I mean, you can repeat that again and again all over the place. And we've talked to people. They don't want to go on the record with us, most of them, but we talk to people. I mentioned Huffy Bicycles. I've talked to those folks. I've talked to Rubbermaid. We talk to people who make lawnmowers. We talk to furniture, textile people, apparel people. It's all across the board. Remember, Walmart has about 120,000 items in a super center. I mean, that's massive. That's all across the landscape. And, you know, for some companies, Clark's, Procter & Gamble, companies like that, 20-30% of their output goes to Walmart. They don't want to get crosswise with Walmart. You know, if they do, they're in deep trouble.
So right.
Walmart's got a lot of leverage.
Hedrick Smith, one of the things that I find interesting about the whole big box phenomenon is the connection with China and the fact that, for example, last year, this company Apex, which I read an article about, dumped a whole bunch of real inexpensive VCRs on the market. I think it was like $30 a pop or something. Sold an incredible amount of them.
Yeah.
When it comes to a place like Walmart, do you find at all that consumers care about where the product comes from, or are they just worried about the price point?
Well, I think what's happened is that the big box retailers have discovered that the great bulk of American consumers, obviously nothing applies across the board, but the great bulk of American consumers don't care where it's made. The old idea that you only want to buy stuff that's made in America, that's long since gone. That went in the 70s and the 80s when we began to get Japanese and Korean stuff and stuff from Hong Kong and Taiwan, and that's gone. If you turn over most items in these big box retailers, whether it's Target or Walmart or Costco or one of the others, an awful lot of items, if not most of the items, are made in China. People don't care. They really do want price. That's what they found. Walmart does about, this is interesting, Walmart does about 25-30% of its business at what they call their low opening price point. That's the rock bottom price in any line of goods. I mean, if you're looking at microwave ovens, if you're looking at kids' toys, certain kinds of toys, if you're looking at jack-o'-lanterns, if you're looking at, it doesn't matter, bicycles, lawnmowers, there's that low item. That's the item Walmart wants to catch you on and get you in. It's often a loss leader, and I thought the Walmart people I talked to, and particularly ones I talked to who were revealing were people who used to work at Walmart, because the others are worried about losing their jobs. But they said you cannot make those opening price point items in America. You got to make them overseas. They're loss leaders.
And also, Hedrick Smith, the show airs tonight on PBS. It's Frontline Documentary. It's called Is Walmart Good for America? The thing I found interesting was the ex-Walmart employee, the manager that you spoke to, who said that it functions the same way as a bait and switch, is that you've got the really cheap items, say a microwave oven, and they get you looking at that, and maybe in the back of your head, say, you're thinking like, wow, this is really cheap, but it's a little too cheap, and I don't want this model. So you go buy another microwave, and usually a lot of the other stuff is priced comparatively. It's not priced any cheaper than any other place.
Yeah. Well, Walmart does do about a quarter of its business. The people who see that low-priced item, they go for it. But about three-quarters of the people don't. Just as you say, they go elsewhere. I mean, you got to admit, Walmart is enormously efficient. It's been enormously effective. It has led the way in terms of organizing supply. I mean, when you think of bringing $15, $20, $30 billion worth of goods from China,
yeah,
you got to be very, very good at knowing what to order, when to order, how to run the supply.
Yeah.
I mean, they're superb. They're an enormously efficient business.
Well, let's talk about how it hurts the economy when we come back from this break, Hedrick Smith. It's 28 past the hour. We're talking to, as I said, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Hedrick Smith about Walmart. The documentary is Walmart, Good for America on PBS Tonight. We'll talk to you in a second.
Edition on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN? Your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought you'd like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Hey, whoa.
Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Igpay Atinlay is a dialect designed to confuse. But if Pig Latin is easier to understand than the language spoken when buying a used car, I'll help translate the double talk when we come back. Hi, this is Bobby Likas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Need a quick course in Greek to buy a used car? Don't be confused, because I'm going to translate for you. Program vehicles are those that were allotted by car manufacturers to their executives. Off-lease vehicles are offered for sale by dealers at the expiration of a lease. And pre-owned or used vehicles are simply those that are traded in. One more translation. Here's how you say good deal. Pre-purchase inspection. Have your technician give your prospective vehicle a thorough check before you sign on the dotted line. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Hey, the big dog here for Sirius Satellite Radio. Now, someone once said, you can have too much of a good thing. What kind of knucklehead came up with that one? Oh, yeah, boss, I don't want 3 weeks vacation. That'd be too much. A week will be just fine. Or, baby, you want me to go out with you and your roommate? No, I couldn't imagine that. Well, at Sirius, we don't buy into that stuff. We don't think you can ever have too much of a good thing. That's why we make it so easy for you to get an additional Sirius subscription.
Right now, you can save big on Sirius, because an additional Sirius subscription is just $6.99 a month. That's $6.99 a month. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Sirius.com or your favorite retailer for details.
Another Sirius subscription isn't too much of a good thing. It's probably just the right amount.
Want radio your way? Ride with the big dog. Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt, your buttocks, your butt, I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Before past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Yes.
We are talking to Hedrick Smith, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and senior producer and correspondent for Frontline's documentary, Is Walmart Good for America?, which airs tonight on PBS. Hedrick, we are going to listen now to a segment of the documentary where you're talking to Ron Wunsch, the former Republican mayor of Circleville, Ohio, and this is in relation to the manufacturing plant that was there in Circleville, the Thompson plant,
right,
which was sort of, forced to, either move its manufacturing operations to China in order to compete with Sanyo or to risk going out of business, which I believe they did. Is that true?
Well, actually, they were supplying Sanyo. It was pressure that Walmart put on Sanyo, that Sanyo put on the Thompson plant, that caused the plant to shut down, and they did, in fact, move that production to China.
Okay, let's listen to that segment.
But from 2002 onward, the tide went out. Plants in Circleville started closing, and the big Thompson plant suddenly faced sharp foreign competition. And oddly, Mayor Wunsch says, the Thompson plant ran into big trouble not just because of the Chinese, but also an American company.
In 2003, they lost a sizable portion of their total production orders from a particular customer.
Sanyo?
Sanyo, I believe.
They lost the Sanyo contract because of what?
My understanding, based on what I was told, was that an end-use retailer told the Sanyo people what they were going to pay for the TV.
And who was that retailer?
My understanding is that was Walmart.
Now, you see, what I want to know, Hedrick Smith, is that there are supposed to be laws that protect these trade agreements, and that because of there's so many people that in China that they can make these things for so much cheaper, there's really no way that American manufacturers compete. So there seems to be an imbalance there, and it seems to me that more manufacturing jobs will leave the United States because of this and because of Walmart's, sort of incentive, and that I don't see how that can be good for the economy on just a jobs level.
Well, you've got lots of American manufacturers, whether you're talking about textile manufacturers in South Carolina, furniture manufacturers in North Carolina, general industry, as you were pointing out, in Ohio, and Ohio's been terribly hard hit, 230,000 manufacturing jobs lost just in the last 3 years. You've got lots of those people saying there is not a level playing field in trade with China, that China has not lived up to its agreement. Some of them, there's one case we follow where somebody filed a dumping case against a Chinese TV manufacturer, said they were dumping it below cost, and in fact, additional tariff duties were imposed. But many people say that administration has not been pushing hard enough to make sure that the Chinese live up to the agreement. There are a lot of people who argue that the Chinese currency is way undervalued and makes their goods cheap. Makes it a great deal for companies like Walmart, who are selling to the American public, makes it a good deal for American consumers, but they say it's unfair to American producers, and if Chinese prices were 25 or 40% higher, if their currency were revalued, it would make it a lot more competitive for American industry. So there are policy issues here. There are also issues about whether or not, companies like Walmart and Target and some of the others could actually continue buying and working with American producers instead of putting so much pressure on them to move overseas. So this is not a situation in which we're just sort of being driven blindly by the market. There are people making actual decisions or failing to make decisions which are affecting whether or not we're hanging on to jobs. And that's a pretty big issue for an awful lot of people across the country.
Hedrick Smith, talk, if you would, for a moment about what you learned in terms of Walmart's corporate culture. What kind of a place, I mean, we've heard a lot of back and forth about what kind of place it is to work for, what, you know, what kind of employer, but what is its corporate culture all about? What is its shareholder culture, if there is such a thing? What is that about?
Well, there's no question that starting with Sam Walton himself, and they used to nickname Sam Walton Mr. Cheap. He was a folk hero. He was a guy who came out of the Ozarks and so forth. He believed in selling high volume and selling low cost. Low cost, low prices, that's the name of the game. Not a lot of worry about quality. Not a lot of worry about paying your workers really well. Not a lot of worry about what the impact is on America. Sam did have a Buy American campaign back in the mid-80s for about 6, 7, 8 years, where he actually did help some American companies by giving them big orders. But while that was going on, both Sam Walton and the rest of Walmart continued to expand their buying in low-cost Asia. So while they were helping some American companies, they were also hurting the others. And their argument is, we went down, we talked to them, their argument is, our job is to serve the American consumer. And we want to get the American consumer the lowest price. If that means going to Asia, then that's where we're going. If that means American companies have got to move to Asia, you know, then that's what needs to be done. We're going to serve the consumer. So, you know, their attitude is cost-cutting, bare bones. They're making good money. I mean, their profit margins on imported stuff are much, much higher, we're told, than they are in stuff made in America. It stands to reason. People are making 25, 50 cents an hour. You can sell something. You can sell a microwave oven for $29.87, which is a real steal. But you can also make a very fancy profit margin on that. I don't know that specific item, but we've been told the profit margins on foreign imports are 70, 80, 90%, whereas the profit margins on American-made items are maybe 6, 10, 15, 20%. So there's a big difference. And when you listen to what Lee Scott, the CEO of Walmart, is saying to Wall Street analysts or their CFO, the chief financial officer, they are telling Wall Street and the Wall Street analysts and their shareholders, we're making you more money by bringing in more stuff overseas. That's the culture of Walmart. Be more efficient, spread, grow, and deliver, you know, as much as you can, 120,000 items under one roof in one supercenter, to the American consumer, and don't worry about the consequences.
Right. Well, let's talk about those consequences quickly. In just a sense that, like, these globalizing sort of free market, you know, rationalizers say that, you know, this is, you know, this is about, you know, global economics will eventually find its level and balance out. But the bottom line is that there are a lot of people out of work in this country. There are a lot of people that have been put out of work in manufacturing jobs, specifically because of the reason that we're talking about. And those people, in the documentary, we interviewed a guy that was sort of, you know, within a couple of steps, put out of work of his manufacturing job because of a Walmart situation, and he might not have any other option but to shop at Walmart. Now, what I want to know is, even though it's cheaper, isn't it on some level, you know, hurting the U.S. Economy in terms of how many people are put out of work from this?
Sure, it is. And the problem here is, and you also get the answer. Look, we've had this before. We had the Japanese, their cars. We had the Koreans and Taiwan and television sets and computers and printers and all that kind of stuff, and we've lived through this.
Okay.
What's different today, I think, and what I learned, is China. China is so big. It is 1.2 billion people. It is a potential workforce of 900 million. And what that means is, in one province, we went to one province in South China, and you got to see it to believe it, and I hope people will get a kick out of this part of our program tonight. You got to see it. There are 40 million migrant workers living in this province. There are 80 million people who live there ordinarily. There are 120 million people living in an area the size of Missouri. Migrant from within China.
Right.
40 million of them, young people, and they live on the farm, and living is so bad on the farm that for them, a 25 or 30 cent an hour job is a step up. Now, if you've got hundreds of millions of people like that, it's going to take decades before you'll ever bring their standard of living up without causing our standard of living to drop enormously. I mean, if water levels out, if wages level out worldwide, we got a long way down to go to get to the Chinese level, and they've got an awful lot of people. China is different, and it is also going high-tech. I mean, China is not content to make toys and socks and T-shirts and underwear and plastic kitchen utensils. I mean, when we went through the port of Long Beach and we were looking at how the trade went, I was traveling around on a boat with the communications director of the port. They got 65, 70 of these enormously complicated cranes unloading containers from ocean-going ships. Those used to be made in Denmark and Germany. Guess where they come from? They're now made in Shanghai. Now, these are really big toys. They cost $6.5-7 million a piece. Lasers are coming from China now. Three years ago, there was no laptop production in China at all. Today, 75% of the world's laptops are made in China.
So what are we going to do?
3 years.
What are we going to do, Hendrik? How are we going to, I mean, does policy have to be enacted in order to get the American manufacturing base back up again? I mean, how does this resolve itself?
Yeah, first of all, we got to wake up to what's going on. And basically, we're asleep. Okay, the first thing, you can't do anything in this country until people are awake. Everybody thinks the problem in Circleville, Ohio, or Kannapolis, North Carolina, or someplace else is simply the problem of that plant, that community, that something. It is too bad for them, but it hasn't hit me yet, so I'm not going to worry. So the first thing we have to do is wake up to the fact that by some estimates, we've lost several hundred thousand to a million jobs to China just in the last decade, okay?
Yeah.
The second thing is then we got to think about policy. Number one, you know, the Chinese currency. Number two, are they playing fair? Number three, what are we doing, you know, for the people in American industry? There are other governments that help industry modernize, bring in new equipment, get more internationally competitive.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that can be done. But
good.
The first thing you got to do is recognize there's a big new problem there. And when we're talking about, is Walmart good for America? We're talking about, is Walmart's strategy good for America?
Well,
is this the smart way for the American economy to go? We're not interested in picking on Walmart as a company. We're interested in looking at what kind of economic strategy do we have for the future, and what's it going to mean for middle-class America?
Well, it's a tremendous documentary. I'm urging everybody to watch it tonight. Is Walmart good for America? We've been talking to Hendrik Smith. Thank you, sir.
We appreciate it.
It was great to be with you. I really appreciate your interest and your enthusiasm for the program, and it's really encouraging to me as a producer.
Well, thank you. Enjoy that tonight on PBS. Very informative, and draw your own conclusions right now, because I forgot we're going to do our Palm Pilot. Ray brought this in via somebody else, because he's, I think, up for a cabinet post. This is he's actually able to get other people's. This is Colin Powell's for today. Here's the Colin Powell schedule. 7 a.m. Wake up. Turn on TV news. None of this is my problem anymore. Go back to sleep. Noon. Wake up again. Check answering machine. Erase 300 panicky messages from Condoleezza Rice. 1 p.m. Call President Bush. Hint that I'm thinking of writing another memoir. Unless I happen to find an envelope full of cash in a bus station locker between 3 and 3:15 p.m. 3:15 p.m. Find envelope. Can call back drug companies and turn down lucrative endorsement deals for colon cleansers. Oh, is this on colon cleansers? 5 p.m. Now that I'm no longer working for Bush, pursue lifelong dream. Bring peace to the Middle East. 10 p.m. bedtime. Tell my wife she doesn't have to be so formal anymore. She can start calling me the Secretary of Stud. There you go. I did it. What a great interview that was. It's just such an engaging, real thing, the Walmart issue. You want to pipe in on it, 866-303-2270. We always, we've talked about Walmart maybe once or twice, and as soon as we say Walmart, the religious belief that goes along with it, Waltonism, people generally call because they have experience in their communities and how it's hurt their local economies. 866-303-2270. We'll be back at 47 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Call us at 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition
on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40 by 60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
This Sunday night, if you're looking for a new episode of The Sopranos, you better just forget about it. Turn instead to the ABC Family Original Movie.
It was your grandfather's last request that you take over the family business.
Because the mob is getting the makeover.
Mob boss? I can't be a mob boss. I am a fashion student.
Starring The Sopranos' Dominic Chianese and Eight Simple Rules' Kaley Cuoco.
Forget about it. Forget about it. Are you talking to me?
Crimes of Fashion premieres Sunday night at 8, 7 Central on ABC Family Channel.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
Don't go in the paint. He's a giant. That's where he lives. He owns it. Offense and defense. Boards, screens, picks and rolls. How can he move that quickly? Man, he's got fast feet for a big guy. Shots up. Erased. Swatted to his point guard waiting on the wing. Easy score. Don't go in the paint.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Away
with them, dear. Hornets hate high pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
I can see the runway. It's 52 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're taking calls about Walmart. Looks like we're loaded up on there. 866-303-2270. We've got a special job listing today because we want to help out
And obviously there's been there's been some good listings. Here we go. The Bush administration, my friends, is looking for a skilled diplomat to head up a diplomatic department that does not actually do any diplomacy. This is an exciting opportunity to travel to exciting new places, spot threats that aren't there, and leave shortly before the shooting starts. We need someone with good imaginative writing skills, especially when addressing the United Nations. You must be able to get along with others in the workplace, since your most dangerous negotiations will be with the president. A congenital inability to write memoirs is a plus. Most of all, we're looking for an African-American woman who is already working for this administration. Public appearances will involve reciting administration policy verbatim, so we will get special consideration to anyone who has already gone on press interviews and defended indefensible policies while smiling at weirdly inappropriate moments. If interested, contact George in the big office down the hall to the left. There you go. Pretty specific job listing.
Really?
Who do we got? Silk in Brooklyn. How are you?
Hi, Silk.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right.
The Marxists. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys completely hinged me to reality, so that's why I'm listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, listening to this the author speak this morning really is very frightening. I really think that so much of why the you know, these big red states have turned to religion is not for a lot of reasons, but I really see that they have lost so much. They've been so disenfranchised, losing jobs, jobs going overseas. I mean, what else do you have to hinge yourself on? I mean, I have you guys to hinge myself on.
So you're saying that basically they have Jesus in Walmart?
Well, I mean, Walmart is, I mean, I don't know if you've ever read Nickel and Dime, but mm-hmm. that place is a monster to work for.
Yeah, no health benefits, very low health benefits.
Really bad, really bad. But I mean,
did you know they lock their night managers in because they're afraid they're going to steal stuff?
I thought they made them stop that.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they did.
Right, exactly. We don't know what's going on over there. They're sort of a Satan in disguise. But yeah, I really think that sort of these middle states, these middle American states, they cling to, you know, the moral values and sort of very deep religious ideas, because what else do you have at the end of the day?
Well, yeah, because especially when the policies that put you in that economically compromised position are the same ones of the administration that's in office, and somehow they pull the trick. But let's not forget, Silk, and I certainly appreciate your call, that within most of those red states, you know, a very high percentage of people voted against this president, and also, you know, most of the values, the wedge issues, were not as important as it has been represented in the press, that most people believe that, you know, people have a right to choice. Most people believe that, that gay people should have civil unions or marriages or what have you. But, you know, these things are sort of mythic. But, you know, what you are saying is true. There certainly is an element of poverty that seems almost untreatable to these people, to the point where they have become sort of relying on religion in an overly heavy way.
And remember this, too. Walmart has been...
What was that? I was just, like, dribbling words out of my mouth.
Walmart's been casting its eye, its profit-seeking eye, right here to New York, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But
they want to open a Walmart somewhere in the five boroughs.
Yeah, well, watch. They're just going to take over an entire two-block radius and do it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when the Kmart opened here, people were pretty worked up. But, I mean, what you're saying is right, but it is an interesting dichotomy there between, you know, Christian fanaticism and Walmartism.
Yeah.
Anyways, Donna in California, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi, Donna.
Oh, hi. I've just been studying management, and I'm coming to the conclusion that it's not only cheap labor in China that's going to be the demise of American manufacturing, but it's the greed of CEOs. I mean, they now make, instead of like 30% more than the people that work under them in Europe, 450 times more than them.
I know.
So I think we ought to outsource them.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people in China who'll be a CEO for $10 an hour, and let's take them up on it.
You're absolutely right. Thanks for your call. I mean, that's the interesting thing is, what are these guys thinking? You know, what are these CEOs and these companies thinking?
They're thinking ka-ching. That's what they're thinking.
At the cost of what, though?
I mean, at any cost.
Well, that's a sad singular hope that we have, is that, you know, these type of people, this greedy administration and the people that they accommodate in terms in the financial realm, will run this country into the wall completely. And then, you know, the people that she was talking about, that Silk was talking about, will have no choice but to wake up to the truth and make some different choices in this country.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm exhausted.
If there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Thank you for your call. Sorry we didn't get to all of you. We'll call you again tomorrow. Or you can call us, actually. I can't get to everybody. Here, write these down. Welcome Colin Powell back to the life. Give him a group hug and offer to cleanse his chakra. Or all of them. There are several chakras. 2, head to Vegas for a frenzy of gambling, sex, and booze before they take it away. 3, have Catcher in the Rye printed on flame-retardant paper to preserve it from right-wing book burners, then refuse to read it because it has no black or Latino characters. 4, figure out how to fault Bush for appointing a black woman to one of the most important positions in his cabinet. Damn it! 5, phrase of the day, just drop it in the conversation. Quote, the election isn't over, you know, man. We're still going to make every vote count in Ohio, buddy. That's right, man. What do we got tomorrow, Mark Riley, man?
Sir. Susan Jacoby. Remember Susan Jacoby,
yes,
sir?
Yes, sir, I do, sir.
Well, she's coming back. She's the author of Free Thinkers. She'll be with us tomorrow.
Good, sir.
Right here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
See you later, sir, Riley.
Morning's edition.